You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
According to the atomic clock on the wall, 7 o'clock and 26 seconds. Damn glad we have that. It's a Tuesday night. It's the show with Clayton McKee and company. How are you doing? Marnie Ryer is sitting right across from me.
Hi, handsome.
Hello, Marn. Welcome to the studio.
And
somebody that we haven't seen in a while is here.
Yeah.
It's good to see him.
It's exciting.
It really is.
It is.
But we'll get to him in a minute. Al Perkins is sitting in studio as well.
Well, good morning to you.
You just got up a couple hours ago.
I did.
My God, that overnight shift at the restaurant.
Yes, that 24-hour restaurant.
It's just killing him.
With the worst food in the world, I have to tell you. The food we serve, literally,
lots of carrots.
Is shitty.
Lots of carrots, like steamed carrots and things like that.
It's all fried food.
They're striving for a healthy diet. And returning from God knows where he's been, ladies and gentlemen, Buddy Early's back with us.
Long time listener.
I'm
first
sure.
time paying attention.
You want to know?
That's such an old line.
You want to know? I was so excited about this week's show, having missed last week's, that yesterday at work all day I was preparing for the show as if it was last night, and I was getting stuff together, and I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna go do the show tonight, and then I don't know, maybe around 3-4 o'clock was when it dawned on me.
Did you?
The show is not tonight. And so I had to build up in my head what was, you know, I'm going to go have this crazy interaction with the rest of you. And then it was a total letdown.
So did you do the home from the show from your home?
Well, I tried, you know, to replicate it. I went down to my local methadone clinic and had a conversation with a couple of people there.
I see.
Well played.
Really.
Yeah. It's kind of rude.
Oh, so now he's going to reach for the beer.
But it fits, yeah. And set them around the table.
15 minutes in the studio, and he finally decides he has to have that beer.
I've been here for 17 minutes, and I forgot to get ice. What the fuck?
Well, do you want some?
Yes.
We have some over here.
I'll put on the microphone and let you all talk for a minute
and
get some ice.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I should play some.
Let it be a dance break. It's not the same without Al.
No. No. We don't want.
I don't have a coaster.
Oh, no, allow me to get
we'll get coasters. Now, Buddy,
I got two jobs to do.
But what you didn't realize, now, because I know, Buddy, you don't routinely listen back to what we may or may not have accomplished the week prior.
Or not.
Right. So the three of us listen to critique and find out where we've gone wrong. We've not taken any advice that we should use to improve the show, but we listen.
Sure.
Now, one of the little things that we gave to Al Perkins last week, and I know you may have heard us talk about it. So we have some new sounders, I like you to know. So, there may come a time later on in the show where you're going to decide that.
Looks like it's back to the perfume counter.
We might need to use that.
Perfume counter.
Yeah. I might like that.
And this week, because I obviously have a full life and don't have anything else to do, I found out that Siri, you can make Siri.
She's a whore.
You can make
That's
her say
Siri.
Everything.
Whatever. I'm amused by Siri, I gotta tell you.
You are or you're not?
Siri or ma'am. No, I'm very amused by her. Because when I'm texting while I'm driving, which is completely illegal,
yes.
The autocorrect sounds out through my car. So it's capital I. Couldn't. No. It's like I have a woman with Tourette's driving with me to get me to stop texting while I'm driving.
That was only that one time, Al.
But I love it. I have found a whole new plethora of things, like I can make her stay stuff.
Clayton. You're not supposed to ask your assistant such things.
See,
I love that commercial with John Malkovich.
Yes.
Tell me a joke. Yeah. I forget the rest.
Two phones walk into a bar. Whatever.
Something. I forget the rest. Swear to God, that's how empty my life is. That's been amusing me for like 7 days.
God,
how long has it been since we've been here?
8 weeks.
Show me 8 weeks.
I need to see the Mayan calendar.
This is
it's the only way.
Our Mayan calendar update.
I have that on my list.
I would also like to announce, I just found this out actually yesterday.
And
I
pregnant.
Just, I want, yes, oddly, that's the problem with both my belly and my foot.
How did your foot get pregnant?
Woo!
Swelled up.
Follow-up
like
question.
We'll talk about that at 8:45.
I didn't know that inversion table was going to work quite like that.
Oh, but babies don't live, honey. I just want to let you know.
Wow.
In case that wasn't part of the birds and the bees story.
We're off and running. I barely got any of that. But it's quite all right. It all worked out.
You've seen enough birds and or bees to know what's going on.
And we used to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
with something Perkins.
Marlon Perkins.
Yeah.
Was he related to you?
No.
Oh, okay.
But remember he would always send that one poor schmo into the jungle?
Yeah, I was like, well.
He was always safely in a studio somewhere in Connecticut. Well, that poor schmo.
While Joe goes and risks certain death, I'm going to have some coffee in the helicopter.
Joe's going to stick his hand in the alligator's mouth just to see what happens.
So some updated information for you, because I know you're just on pins and needles about this. We are approaching very quickly, and not just us who downloaded at home and listened to it, but those out in Western New York and other places in Minnesota and I don't know, in the Appalachians, apparently they listen. We are approaching 500 downloads.
Nice.
Wow.
And that deserves a drink.
We are have a little drink, some ice right there.
Mm. Oh, I need an ice sound effect because I don't see cheers. There you go. Feel free to make it yourself at home.
So we are the fastest growing show on the network.
Nice.
We are not at the maximum downloads per other shows, but other shows on the network have been on the air for a year plus and don't have – they have way more shows than we do, obviously, for weeks and weeks.
Much more to choose. More variety.
This is our eighth show, and the one we lost due to technical difficulties.
Yes.
So we only have seven out there. So – we're doing damn good. I'm very proud of that. I think everybody who's listening, local and we should have some applause.
Yeah.
We'll get some.
And thankfully you lost that because I was able to put my lawyer back on hold and all the written apologies for that second week.
Yes.
Yeah,
the week I was sober. That was the week I was sober that I was that fucking mean.
We'll never do that again.
Yeah, we'll never have Al sober again. God, no.
That shit won't happen.
Ooh, from your mouth to God's.
Tyler in Tennessee says hello. Matt Marotska is in the chat room. Jacob Charweiler is there as well.
Hi, Jacob.
It is a full house in the chat room.
No. Oh, Matt Marotska. Yeah. I'm going to see him very soon. We'll be doing Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we saw won a couple Tony. We're going to see Newsies, and that won like best choreography score. And best score.
Yeah.
So we saw that, and Follies that I saw in L.A. got best costumes. So
okay.
Very impressive.
It's nice work.
Well,
as we do, kicking off every week, we usually go around the table and we find out what everybody's been up to. And since, Betty, you've been gone so long, do you want to ask?
Keep it short. Just keep it short.
Well, no, really. Because when Al's gone for a week, he comes back and takes up a 3-hour block of time.
That's when we do have to add the extra hour to the show.
This is when I'm gone for 7 days.
So, Buddy, you're still healthy. You're still alive.
I'm healthy.
Still
actually.
Alive, yeah.
Despite my picking out on this box of treats from Churn that is sitting in front of me, which, Al, you may partake of.
Bless you, my gosh.
Al, that's a technical.
That's an allergy. What the hell's wrong with
you? That's how I sneeze. I'm sorry.
This box,
but now I can't wait to put my hand in that thing of treats.
Where's those sandy wipes?
That's sandy wipes, please. This box of baked goods from Churn was a birthday gift from my friend Christina, who came over to watch the Tonys with me the other night. We have sort of a tradition.
Happy birthday.
I couldn't eat all of them. In fact, before tonight, I've only had 2 or 3 cookies from it, and I just tried to bring it in.
What he failed to tell us was there were 3 boxes.
Yeah.
Always leaving out the details.
Always.
Now I'm burping into the microphone. I'm a pig.
What is wrong with you, Alfred?
I was going to bring all 3 in, but after doing all that methadone last night, I got a little hungry. Just sit around with people on methadone and talk. You have to participate.
That's true.
Exactly. Now, does methadone give you the munchies? I'm not familiar.
I just thought it might, so I thought that would be funny.
Play the odds.
Play the odds.
I knew a fat person on Coke, so seriously, anything's possible.
Seriously? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that was possible.
Something like that, too, yeah. We'll stop right there before I name any names.
So one of the questions on my mind is, I don't think it's a secret, aside from the birthday you tried to hide from everybody. You went for you called it a doctor's appointment.
Yes.
And
we're not whispering cancer or whispering doctor.
I had a job interview.
Job interview is what he called. Like
really,
in the, yeah.
Oh,
really
I'm sorry.
I was really excited for it. And I was, you know, they even told me, you know, that they had 96 applicants for this job. And they
I didn't know Ringling Brothers was hiring.
There's a lot of flexible people out there. Who
95 more flexible
you
than you.
You wouldn't know by looking at me, but I can't put my both legs behind my head.
There's part of the dating service will be starting later now.
I was really excited about this job, I got to the interview, so excited. The building, I'm like, oh, this is cool.
All right.
And then after the interview, I'm like, I don't think I want this job. So, but I'm moving on.
Why? Still, why? Because it was too exciting?
Just the vibe I got from the whole...
Okay.
I have to get a vibe.
Yeah.
And I didn't. From the people I met in the building and just the whole...
Worse than the vibe you're currently sitting in?
No.
Because you don't have any love lost for that one.
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you meant this room.
I do too.
I thought, wow.
Well, how rude.
No, I can see why you think that.
Are those pastries poisoned?
No, so I'm moving on, and I'm still keeping my options open. And
God damn, Marnie.
Excuse me.
We can't have nice things, Marnie.
No. I guess.
Jesus, she's hiding her beer from herself.
All right.
There's some things that might come around the bend soon. So
hopeful because this is not paying you anything to do this little show.
Oh, it's not?
Al's taking a bite out of crime over there. What is that?
That I think that's like a raspberry bar or something. Some sort of
raspberry.
Raspberry.
And that crazy bitch is still alive.
Yes, she is. She is
not Carol, Buddy Early.
Carol Channing. Carol Channing. Carol
Raspberry.
Oh yes. Well, Marn, you're over there texting. What do you have?
Nothing.
No.
Okay, Al. Marnie.
Come on, Marn. There's got to be really. Nothing.
Work pissed me off last week.
There is a shocker. Work always pisses you off.
Well, but this week more than last. I mean, ever. More than ever. So anyway, but that's all. And I don't want to talk about negative stuff. So.
Okay, all right. Well, I enjoy it because we're a very positive show.
We're a very positive show. I went to Swenson's Ice Cream. Does anybody remember Swenson's Ice Cream?
Where is that here?
Up by Metro Center.
Yeah, there's 20, still one.
28th Street
what
in Peoria.
What the fuck were you doing up by Metro Center?
Going to Swenson's?
She was buying
it's not
methadone.
Methadone clinic?
It's not a destination, Marty. Swenson's,
is. My girlfriend said I want to go to Sizzler. Something about cheese toast.
Oh, good
Sizzlers,
Lord.
Right? Okay. So
I don't even have a sound effect for that. I'll find one.
Yummy.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had to get the cheese toast, and they had a fabulous salad bar.
Yeah, like, I mean, Sizzler.
No,
come on.
No. But, I mean, this was like everything was super fresh. It was fantastic.
All right.
And again, Sizzler. I loved it in the
right
80s.
Next door, Swenson's.
The lesbians do love their chain restaurants. I will say that.
I'm not sure if that stereotype is true, but based on this story, I'm going to go with a wholehearted yes.
I like yes. Anyway, and Swenson's is right next door.
All
right. And it's Aaron's favorite from when she was young. And
it is
so
good.
Went there. And okay, that was all.
I love some cheese toast. My table is mic like I'm going to start tap dancing. Yeah, seriously.
It is.
What's
wrong?
Yeah,
I agree.
I don't know. My table is mic.
He was touched to see, and I got yelled at for knocking the beer.
Well, yeah,
the
but
mic.
You ran into the mic
there
with a beer bottle.
There was a lot happening, but still.
All right, I don't know.
He's noisy.
Because I'm quiet, so you know when I
do. Oh, yeah, you're a fucking church mouse.
You are so quiet.
Never an unkind word.
No.
Right.
You're a wifey little thing of a mouse.
I'm sorry.
I've got Sandy Dennis on.
Is it okay in my little area to do little birthday shout out
to my little area?
In my little area thing?
Sure.
Well,
you are in the picture, I think, in the back.
I think so.
You're on the picture. You can talk.
I'm hidden. Happy birthday to Buddy Early.
Oh my God! I did not know that was coming.
I didn't either.
My gosh, it is Buddy's birthday.
Happy birthday, Buddy Early.
I'm enjoying pastries on his behalf.
I understand you are. I see that.
Purchased by other people. Thank you.
Right,
our studio audience is acknowledged.
And they
birthday.
Were fresh on Sunday.
and a shout out to a friend of mine, to Wendy Sorensen. It's her birthday today. Becca Winninger's partner. Fantastic lady.
Yes.
There were a lot more, but that's all I want to talk about.
There was
That's all that made the task list on Facebook.
There are a lot of like my half sister, my Pookie was yesterday. Do you guys remember Pookie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Scott Vargo.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
All right, gotcha.
So I mean, there were a lot, but you know, meh.
Meh.
Like Pookie of Pookies?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Does he listen?
I have no idea.
He used to fuck with me. Anyways.
He used to fuck with a lot of people. He was good at that. But God bless him.
Yeah, sure.
I love going there for karaoke on Thursdays.
Like, God can do whatever he wants. I'm not concerned this week.
You're not a believer.
Pick a topic I'm interested in. We'll move on.
Okay, I'm done with my area.
You're done with your area?
I don't want to see your area again.
Leave my area out of this.
Did you shave your area next time before
Swenson's?
We will...
Or was that Wendy Sorensen? I don't know.
Not to Wendy. God bless her again.
No.
God's got a busy day.
I'm really good with the callbacks tonight. Yeah. Well, just watch
That's
me.
That's good. I like it.
I'm giving God a task list. Bless
You're
going to
be back with a perfume counter for you.
Shame song.
Oh, we have that one too, buddy. We can. No, well, actually,
I did watch it about 100 times, by the way. Since
oh, you did? Oh, well, we just
shame song.
Shame song.
That's all. Just makes me happy.
Same song.
Very good.
So, Alfred, what have you accomplished this week? You worked a lot.
I did. God bless
people
it.
People are hungry.
I know. No, it's good. I mean, I'm happy to get the hours. There's like four people left working at the restaurant, and we're covering every shift, all four of us.
All fucking four of you.
Every single person went to a different restaurant this year. but I'm at home reestablishing my iTunes, and... having so much fun with that. I did iTunes Match, and I'm such a cheap motherfucker. Like, seriously, because I'm in the same pair of sneakers I've had for like 9 months now. I've bought cars since I bought a pair of sneakers.
because you had to.
It's the weirdest things. But iTunes Match, which I didn't get before, and then everything was stolen, and I lost everything if I had just paid the $29.99 for the love of fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
None of this would have happened. But, I mean, everything would have been stolen. Mm-hmm. But so I'm loading up, and I'm on like 700 songs, and the thing says, do you want to try iTunes Match? And I'm like, I'll just do it later.
Sure.
And I'm like, what are you waiting for? It's $30. Like, you know you have to do this.
I'd like to hear the conversation amongst himself at home.
Right. Oh, no. And they're whole conversations in between songs. I mean, it's a whole variety show that goes on in that bedroom. In big dog shorts and a dirty T-shirt. Just in case I make sauce at any point.
Yes.
I like to keep dirty clothes on in case I'm making spaghetti sauce.
Actually means cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Not a metaphor.
Nice. It doesn't involve a hand towel or lotion.
or Swenson's.
What? If done correctly, it involves Swenson's. I'm learning about iTunes Match and everything in the cloud, and the nice people at Apple were helping me get organized. I can't stand the Apple company. I think it's a fucking cult. But it turns out I'm starting to like the Kool-Aid. And, you know.
I read your post on that.
I know all the words to Helter Skelter, so I guess I'm going. the Beatles song.
Thank you, people.
But it's very fun to watch how it all works and everything goes. But the people, so listeners at home that get lied to by other friends, it doesn't matter if you drink the Kool-Aid or not. If something gets stolen, and I wish I had known this a week before, you just go to iCloud.com, mm-hmm. type in your password. That's the same password for everything. They really did make that easy. And my computer was on there, even though everyone that I talked to on the phone said, nah, it's probably not going to be on there to find my serial number. And we did it from the store, found the serial number. I locked it remotely. If it's ever found, I have it's swiped, so I lost everything on iTunes anyways.
Oh, okay.
But
there was going to be a silver lining.
No, but
that
if that computer does turn up, I just type in the password that I'm probably not going to share with all of you on the air unless I keep drinking.
That's a good idea.
If somebody plugs it in, it's instantly alerted to and found. And so you can do that with your iPod, iPhone.
You back everything up on the iCloud.
Not everything. All you have to do is do something on the cloud once. Okay. And Apple just registers everything.
That's while we're doing that, I'm going to go update my iCloud.
So it's kind of fun. So the cloud is sending everything that I want. And so my whole library is on my iPad now, but I only pick what I want to hear because my iPad can't hold. I'm at 1,500 songs, and I haven't put Donna Summer, Bette Midler, Diana Ross.
Right.
I'm at 1,500 songs without really getting to the show tune section or the women that I like.
Lord have mercy.
Right. Lord have mercy on how much music is going on here.
It's crazy. And it takes an entire summer for him to do that. So my question then is, you've got your purchases, obviously, that you've done, and they've matched blah, blah, blah. But
the songs, too. So now the songs are in the cloud, and they're there forever. So all I do is hook up an iTunes account, and then I just tell this, like, right now, like, you just make playlists. That's how you keep it small so that you don't have to download everything.
Right.
So I have, like, Learn to Sing, Bath, Exercise, Sleep, like, whatever playlist I want to be, like, Fly on a Plane.
Right.
And then on my iPad, I pick that thing, and I download just those 20 songs.
Right. But what I'm getting at is...
I guess I should let you ask the question before I start answering.
Thank you. My question is, out of the 8 or 900 CDs that I know you have because I ripped all of your CDs to my collection too. So all of those that are your own, you've got them at home. Those wind up in the cloud and you never have to load them again?
Right, right. It's all
done. What, yeah. That's it.
And I hesitated. $30 a year.
Wow.
I'll spend $30 on a glass of fucking vodka and right. I won't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah. So I'm going to be going home and signing up for cloud immediately because that's going to happen. Because I have your library and I know how long it took me to rip your library in addition to what I already had.
Right, right. And then, you know, the homemade CDs are taking, you know, homemade CDs when I get to all the stuff that Tim's made for me all the years and all the stuff, the little treasures here and there, vinyl that's been burned. That's going to be a little bit different because iTunes won't know. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but some of that's not available.
Like, right. But if you program in a playlist, does that save it too?
Yes, it saves it, but it doesn't match it. But the sound quality is fucking amazing. When you put it in the cloud, it takes it, even if it's a shitty, like, 1902 CD, it gives you the best possible sound quality out of it. It maxes out the gigabytes or whatever the phrase would be.
Is.
Don't Leave Me This Way in my car the other day. I was hearing stuff in that song I'd never heard before. I drove around the block 3 times to hear the song again. And I love that, like, iTunes makes me like my car.
Nice.
Like, I have no desire to drive. I just want to be in my car and listen to music. Right. So, well, seriously, like,
you're going to have plenty of time because we're taking your car to the one and only Flagstaff Pride this coming Saturday.
Yes, that'll be fantastic.
Answering the age-old question, can we make
toast in the backseat of
that
car?
And again, I'm going to, on air, this is sealed. I need to be there when you try.
Right, right. Well,
please.
Right. Just find our car in the parking lot. It'll be the one with the toaster.
but we have to all be a part of the experiment.
Right.
And Aaron can, like, take the footage.
I just don't.
We just need something to hold the butter so that it's soft but not running all over my leather seats.
Absolutely.
I just don't.
I can bring that.
I hate to be the party pooper in this, but it's just, it can't be done.
I think it can
be done. So we also have to do it after the car is parked safely in Flagstaff. Because if it doesn't work, I don't want to get towed from buttfuck Northern Arizona.
Cordis Junction.
To gay pride. Right, exactly.
Right.
Although there is a lovely breakfast restaurant.
I'm sure.
Well, and I'll have my car. We can take you.
And then you have to explain
you
were trying to make toast.
Yeah.
Right.
While driving to.
Sir,
well, why would you put a fucking plug in there if you can't plug anything possibly into it?
It's for laptops and
but
stuff.
But that takes just as much power as a toaster.
No.
Yeah.
Toasters take a high wattage.
Things.
Toasters take, like, a hair dryer. You could never rent a hair dryer out of your back seat.
Oh, we're bringing a hair dryer, too.
Well,
do you have a hair dryer?
Well, I do.
Do I have a hair dryer?
I don't know.
I do.
Look at me.
How much time do I spend watching you blow dry?
None.
Yeah. I really don't want to talk about
I own a hair dryer, and I almost never use it.
You ought to try.
I have one.
It's true.
But I don't know where
the wattage, it's
plug-in part.
We could explain it, but it takes far too long.
Too late.
Too late.
Good work.
So that's it. I'm back. I'm back on iTunes. There's music in my home again, and
thank God.
I'm very happy about that.
Good.
Oh, by the by, you sent me a message about how your DVR had cut off the end of the Tonys.
Oh, the end of the Tonys.
I was upset. Huh? Yours
our
did too.
DVR did the same thing.
Well, then I haven't looked to see if mine cut off. Maybe
that's why you have to set it over.
No, and I was not planning on working on Sunday.
Oh, right.
I got the call on Saturday that I was gonna have to work Sunday, Monday. So
yeah, that kind
it was all last minute.
It threw everything off.
Yeah,
last
threw
week.
Me off.
Really did.
Yeah, all of a sudden it was like, and best play. All right then. Well,
how much time did they go over? Or did
I want to say about 7 minutes. Yeah.
But I'm assuming that Neil Patrick ended with a song.
He did.
Okay,
he did
that's
do
what
that
I wanted
song
to see.
That he's done a couple of times now, which is really clever, where they actually write it as the show
goes on. Yeah.
And
he
references things
that
happen in the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so I felt bad that I missed that. But I fell in love with him. He did a little dance move. Like, he's the Vanessa Williams of the Tonys. Like, he can do anything. And all
doll.
Of a sudden, they picked him up, and he did, like, a little cheerleader lift in a suit where he put his arms down, and they lifted him up and set him on the stage.
After the Book of
and
Mormon?
And I thought, when they, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what can't
cute.
You do?
And cute.
Then I realized, like, I've had a little stiffy for him for...
Yeah.
There's a concert from San Francisco of I don't know about Stiffy. We don't say little Stiffy. I'm going to undersell it.
Yeah.
Super sorry. He has a big car though.
It fits a toaster and a blow dryer. But he did a Sweeney Todd, a concert from San Francisco with Patti LuPone and I can't remember the guy's name. It's Gene Barry. We'll say Gene Barry.
Neil Patrick Harris did.
Neil Patrick Harris did was Toby. And still in the same costume as he did in the first national tour of Rent, that I saw Buddy.
You may have seen Buddy in that, right?
But so I mean, he's ever since then, I'm like, he was just so charming in that. And anybody can sing better than Patti LuPone, so he was
okay. So
but she was charming on that. She
was
good.
She didn't have to do much. All of a sudden, Patti LuPone came out, and I looked at her, and I said,
"I liked her with the lawnmower."
Al doesn't like her.
She
you've mentioned
not so much.
Not a huge fan.
Not so much.
I need to ask why. I'm curious.
She has her voice just grates on my last fucking nerve from me with this voice.
I think for Patti LuPone for you is what Bernadette Peters is for me.
Right. An acquired taste. Very styled.
I love Bernadette Peters.
Very stylized way of singing. Okay. And she has some good moments. Patti LuPone has. I have some stuff. I posted it on Facebook. I post clips for people just because I disparage her so much that there's some stuff that she does that she does very well.
Okay.
And I've gotten to see her on Broadway a couple times now, and I didn't want to kill her.
Okay. Fair enough.
I always hope for an understudy when her name's above the title.
I think that's a plus.
Well, I just remember you bringing that up, and then all of a sudden here she comes out, and I thought, I need to ask Al.
Well, I've hated Evita. I never liked Evita. I know we've grown on the Tonys, but Evita. I hated that show because I can't stand her voice, and Manny Patinkin's voice makes me want to kill myself. And the two of them singing, plus the musical I find is very misogynistic. I find that they're willing to call her a whore. Yeah. They're willing to call her all these names. But then when it comes to power, then they poo-poo her.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the show. And then Madonna did it. I don't think Madonna's a great singer.
Yeah.
But Madonna, with that score and the way that she kind of forced them to get rid of some of the overtones or undertones of that show.
That's the only Evita I've seen.
Absolutely.
So that's all I have to go
by. The Waltz of Che and Evita, I think is just one of the most phenomenal songs Madonna's ever sang.
You know what I was disappointed with the other night is they made such a big deal and have been making a big deal out of this Argentine actress.
Elena Rogers,
the first one to play, the first Argentine actress to play Evita on Broadway. And the number they did
didn't feature her.
Well, and you know the Tony producers and the show's producers are like, we need to feature Ricky Martin.
Ricky
and
Martin,
that's understandable. But I was really upset about that because I wanted to see what if she was.
You're not going to feature much of the cast or the selling point if you're just going to have one more white woman stand on a stage singing "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina." It's every drag show you've ever been to.
Right.
The new Argentina, the end of the first act. That's really the big rousing song, but not a lot of people know it. It's a little political, so I think you have to go with Money Kept Rolling.
It's probably a good choice for that reason, you're right.
Because I do that. I always wonder, whenever they pick a single, they pick what they're going to lead with, why'd you pick that song? And I thought, that's probably as good as it gets.
I thought Ricky Martin did a fine job.
He was good.
I think, and we've all seen the Tonys by now, right? You guys had to watch them.
I haven't yet to watch them, but that's all right. Somebody won.
He just watches for the music.
The best.
I don't really care who wins. I just watch for the glitter.
It still was not the most inspiring season on Broadway, in my opinion. I mean, especially for the musicals.
Not for musicals, yeah.
I think actually, for straight plays, it seems like it was a phenomenal year because a lot of things look very interesting to me and things I've been reading about.
As my friend Gino will say, it's been the straight play. It's been kind of their era lately. It's like the golden age.
Have to open this year's Tony Awards. With the Book of Mormon, which swept last year, that kind of tells you where
a new cast. It's not even the original cast anymore. It's a new cast. But the two things that were nominated for Best Score were not musicals
because there aren't enough.
There weren't enough that were worthy. They had enough people that had new scores, but they didn't have enough that were worthy. So let me ask you:
You're going to New York soon?
Soon, someday,
and
with a Rottweiler and a security system and a gun.
Is Book of Mormon on your?
Yes, Book of Mormon.
It is.
I had to move heaven and earth to get that Book of Mormon ticket.
I just noticed today.
I'm going by myself too.
Next June.
Oh, I remember. You
next
that,
June, 2013, the Book of Mormon is playing in Buffalo.
Yes, and
I thought was very interesting.
Well, no, but Buffalo's they get good shows there. It's got Shea Auditorium there gets their that's their gamage. But they usually get stuff earlier, and I'm surprised the Book of Mormon starts the tour this fall. But I'm surprised that Buffalo, it's the second.
Well, I thought it was interesting because
in New York,
upstate New York is where Mormons came from.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder if that's going
to
make
it. I didn't know that.
What kind of reception is it going to be? A good reception or a bad reception?
I wondered but there's not a big Mormon presence because I never heard the word Mormon said out loud until I moved to Arizona. I was wondering if that was what was keeping them from Gamage. Why is the fifth largest city in the nation in the first leg of the Book of Mormon tour? Which is why I spent an arm and a leg in
Mormon
to get that.
From the very beginning, I was like, the show's not coming here. I'm going to have to go to L.A.
Yeah. At some point,
it's already sold out in Denver because my brother's from Denver. I thought maybe I'll go to Denver. It's sold out in Denver.
Well, that's kind of their hometown. You know what I mean? South Park. Sorry.
South Park.
Well, no, that's.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something. Oh,
right. Those are the guys that wrote it.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Shang Chong.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Well aware of those boys.
Well, I have nothing prepared, but it turns out the Tonys I can go on and on about for as long as you need.
No, that's why I didn't put them in the headlines because I figured for sure you'd be dragging that.
But did you guys see the gags and the outros to commercials? Did you guys pick up on those?
I haven't seen it, remember?
Hysterical. First of all, there was a guy sitting there with a big Lion King headdress, and you're like, what the hell is that all
and
about?
And the guy behind him was like, what the hell is this? He was so mad.
And when Neil Patrick Harris would be like off in the wings or in the audience saying, we'll be right back with so-and-so, he's in the wings, and a couple of the actors who were just performing a little bit on stage are back there fighting. And we had to play it back like three times. My friend Christina's like, they're fighting. And then later he's up in the balcony, and you see this woman crowd surfing. It turns out it's a blow-up doll, and it just crowd surfs and the guy sits it down. It's so funny.
The Lion King thing, the guy sits down with the big headdress from the Lion King, and he sits down in a seat as Neil Patrick Harris going to commercial. And the guy behind that has a seat behind him is like, so pissed off.
What the fuck
is so like, what? Like, it was kind of like, is this woman in this hat seriously going to sit here after church?
It's like, exactly.
Like, yes, the guy from the Lion King has nothing better to do than show
it's
up
like
in costume.
It's like going to a movie and sitting behind Pussy LaHoot. Yeah. You're like, really? Come on. I should have said. Yeah.
I know. I was going to a chicken and waffles kind of reference, too. Trust me.
I'm sure
But I
you
decided
were.
Against it.
Wow. Atta girl.
Fight it.
Let it go.
Figure it out at some point. All right. We are going to come back in just gay moments with, I don't know, maybe I'll say something for the rest of the show. I'm not
oh,
sure
yeah.
Yet.
What did you do this week while we were watching the Tonys?
No, yeah.
I forgot about you.
From Clayton.
No, very busy.
I was waiting.
We'll move on. I just hosted the Pride Gala and talked in front of the assistant police of police. Chief of police and the mayor and his wife. That's all. Nothing big. It's all right. So we'll be back right after this.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Now we'll look at headlines that we're going to be discussing amongst, probably the Tony Awards here this evening on Q-Talk Arizona. Madonna flashes a 53-year-old nipple and nobody cares. Turns out the dingo really did take her baby. The Weather Channel opens a Vegas casino. Whoa, Joey Lawrence is a stripper. Burger King rolls out barbecue sandwiches and a bacon sundae, and a divorce hotel offers weekend escape from each other. These stories and plenty more right here on Q-Talk America.
Almost all of those stories sound true, because I know most of them are.
Well, there you go.
Now, Clayton, would you like to lead the headlines with what you did last week? Since, according to my co-host, the show is called The Show with... How do you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Clayton McKee?
Mackey.
Oh, I loved your costumes for Cher. You were so talented.
Is it, same Bob time? No. Bob is his cousin.
No, not Clayton Mackey. No.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know who you
Howard,
were.
Can you imagine if I was related to Bob Mackey, how fabulous that would be?
No. I'm thinking
too
you dress
fabulous
better.
For words.
I'm thinking more sequins.
What? Do they make black V-necks in sequins? I'm sure I can find one.
Liza Minnelli does.
Same song.
Yeah. There's not a sequin in the world she hasn't walked away from.
Same sequin.
Smells just like the old sequin.
Same sequin.
Oh, fun times. I'm turning the fan back up because it got hot in here all of a sudden. Apparently, Madonna caused quite a ruckus when she flashed her right breast during a stop in Turkey of her MDNA tour.
In Turkey.
However, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. She did publish a coffee table photo book back in 92 called Sex. Though it's been a while since we've seen it, it was sort of like being greeted by an old friend we haven't seen since high school.
Oh. And they're now bugging you on Facebook.
On the ABC... On ABC's The View, Joy Behar commented that, quote, she better not try this in 20 years or she'll have roadies picking them up for her.
Ooh.
Yes.
Every time I saw that headline, I just was like, oh, whatever. Madonna.
But they were commenting. She made a comment some months back in regards to she was doing an interview with Jay Leno prior to her doing the halftime show. And he asked her if there was anything that the NFL had specifically asked her not to do. And they said, well, flash a breast.
Yeah.
So apparently, and then she made a comment that you don't really need to have that to prove you're relevant or all this bullshit. Well, then what did she do? In Turkey, do you have to do that?
Well, I think you have to do something in Turkey.
In Turkey, yeah.
Do they know what she's talking about in Turkey?
I don't know.
They wear burkas? I mean,
I don't know what they do in Turkey.
It's so funny. Like, Madonna's got to wear, like, she's got to top herself. Like, she's got to work. I was not impressed
you're in
by
Turkey,
this.
The thing that goes on in those prisons, it gets pretty wild. So, oh, you got to do something.
That's
if
a
you're
hot movie.
Dark,
I know
is,
what you're
right,
talking about.
You
it's
know?
A hot movie.
Wow. Marnie and I are literally sitting here going, what?
Oh,
what
the mid- fuck are Midnight you Express about? With Brad, someone or other. Oh,
Brad Davis.
Brad Davis.
Is that right?
That is one hot motherfucker of a movie.
I was thinking of Starlight
Express.
It made
me want to go sell drugs in Turkey so I could get to that prison. And like,
oh.
I'll grab my methadone. We'll head over there.
Oh,
and,
my God. Yeah, and get a gym
it.
Membership with the blonde guy in the shower. Ooh, little torture's okay.
Hey, Mr. Mackey?
Thank you. 32 years after nine-week-old Azaria Chamberlain vanished from her parents' tent at a campsite in the Australian desert, a coroner finally concluded today that a dingo or a wild dog had actually taken the infant.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Well, that is what the parents of the missing child maintained from the beginning. The first inquest in 81 also blamed the dingo, but a second and third blamed the parents. And she actually served the mother actually served 3 years in prison, and then it was overturned.
And they overturned the overturning, and they left it open.
Right, it was open for the third, and then the fourth inquest, they're like, we're done with this, it's proven, whatever.
But the fourth inquest is this one. This is the one we're talking about.
This is today. And in case this sounds familiar to you, the clip I just played obviously was from Seinfeld. They were making a joke about it. But the movie A Cry in the Dark in 88 was when Meryl Streep played the mother in the movie. And that's where the actual line...
So that is one good thing that came out of this, Meryl Streep's performance.
Right, yeah. One of her many Oscar nominations was for playing a homely Australian woman.
With that crazy haircut.
That horrible haircut. And
the eyes.
Right. And IMDb.com, who's one of our sponsors, I think.
Just like Ultimate Vodka.
No, today it's Vox Vodka. Ask for it by name. they have a subtitle. If you all go to that page at home and go to imdb.com, the subtitle for that movie is Evil Angels. So what I'm thinking is that might be the Australian title, because the perception in Australia of that
they
family...
They hated her.
She did it, because dingoes are notoriously... docile animals, and they've had to prove that the species, like this is how this took 32 years, was because no one believed that this species of dog would ever do anything harmful, and they've listed all the different incidents of dingoes eating children.
Right.
Oh, man.
That now they're kind of like, well, maybe it's a possibility.
It's plausible.
And then they found the baby's bloody jumper in a dingo pit or whatever, wherever methadone clinic the dingoes have to hang out in.
Well, they're actually at a town hall playing D-I-N-G-O.
and dingo was his name. Dewey has to pay for that.
I gotta tell you.
Do I have to chip in for that?
No,
although,
you go.
Okay. Although puns are the bastard cousin of humor.
Or humans.
That really amused the shit out of me.
Glad.
Oh, look what I brought with me. Hold on.
What'd you bring? What'd you bring?
To amuse Alper, it makes my day.
Something to distract us, I'm assuming.
I brought a friend.
Show.
I can't believe it took me this long. My inspiration. They have not been framed yet.
Buddy has not seen
did
them.
No, but I know what these
did
are.
You
are you up to speed with
I
my flying cat?
Up to speed with this.
I didn't bring the script, but we can play that audio again if need be.
Oh,
that
no,
was...
no. I'm just going to have them here, like pictures of my children if I had any.
I could not find a gym as beautiful as that story, because you lost your mind. And that's a true story.
I know. And we got our finger on the pulse of this cat. We were so on top of this.
That was fantastic.
Seriously, if anything that ever came off a hand towel lived and made
is,
a baby.
Now that is one
I
trick
would
pussy
this cat.
Right
that
there.
Is a trick pussy.
That is a no.
That's a callback. You
nicely done.
Another
nicely
silver
done.
Lining to that story. Corporate sponsor Duracell got on board with that cat.
Nice.
Absolutely. This past week.
Not everybody.
Okay.
Knock this.
Thank
off
God there
shoulder.
Wasn't something in my mouth, because I would have just sprayed you with liquor.
Yeah, no, that's just
the
me.
Cat that keeps on ticking. I want this licking.
I keeps on ticking.
As most trick pussies do. I seriously want to see this cat flying around with a drum over a rabbit.
No, that's Energizer.
We have a year.
But my drum,
oh, wait,
Energizer.
That's Energizer.
Who are you talking about then?
I said Duracell, but it doesn't matter because it's a bullshit. Boom, boom, but my
you should have let me go with it because mine was funny.
My grandmother would have loved it because she loved that fucking bunny. That little beating his drum and spinning
she
around.
Didn't love that bunny anywhere near as much as I love this cat. This cat. Ladies and gentlemen at home, I have a picture of this beautiful, beautiful animal.
And by
two
the way, it's
them.
Still on our Facebook
spread
page.
Spread eagle, the defiant and terrified.
Well, and dead.
And dead.
And very, very dead.
Real dead. Still dead.
Whitney
still
Houston dead, people.
Exactly.
Just to put a level to it. How dead is she? Whitney Houston.
She's
dead?
Completely dead.
Still dead.
Cable TV giant The Weather Channel announced plans today to bring the excitement of floodwaters and tornado warnings to Las Vegas. By opening the world's first themed casino called the Grand Advisory, will be the first gaming facility ever to allow patrons to bet on the outcome of weather in major cities across the world. Weather Channel spokesman Claude Bollinger. Wow.
Occasionally, a tornado or hurricane alert will sound, forcing customers to evacuate to a basement casino where they can continue gambling in safety.
Bollinger went on to say that the Grand Advisory hopes to sign singer Celine Dion to an exclusive long-term contract despite of her legendary fear of sleet.
I would go. I know that story's not true, but I would love it.
Okay, I have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. The news is going to get longer
weird.
Now. I know. Weird. I love the right? Weather Channel. Aside from my addiction to CNN and cheese, it's the Weather Channel.
What about vodka?
It's not an addiction. That's just a healthy, healthy relationship.
Box vodka. Esther
by name.
Yep, totally. My bad.
So when I'm out of town, I like to take one day in my hotel, and I like to enjoy a Sandra Bullock. I call it the Sandra Bullock day at the hotel. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to watch whatever TNT is playing.
They're screw-off caps.
From the canon of Sandy Bullock. But the other thing that I'll do later in the day after I've exhausted 28 days later is, or 28 days, which one is her? One's a zombie movie, one's
a day. I get them confused.
Is I love to watch the Weather Channel. So I was telling my friend Mac Brophy Boy, who may or may not be in the chat room, we were on a trip a few years ago to see Donna Summer in concert, and I was telling him, like, oh, it's Sandy Bullock Day. We're gonna camp out, get liquor, and just lay around, do facials, take long baths, enjoy a day at the hotel, and like get our money's worth out of this hotel. We were at the Beverly Hilton. And so we turn on, like, the Weather Channel is so much fun. We get our drinks, we put on our robes, we're sitting on the bed, we're watching the Weather Channel, and it's the weekend of Katrina. Mm. Oh. Hand to God.
Wow.
So we're sitting there, and it was phenomenal. And he's, like, drinking, like, this is fantastic. I'm like, okay, I may have undersold it. Like, I didn't realize what was going to happen during our time with the Weather Channel. Like, this is the best Weather Channel weekend. People were dying.
You hit the mother load that weekend.
Exactly, but to me, it was just fabulous TV, and I met Anderson Cooper for the first time, and, oh, we got along so well.
I'm glad to know you have a hotel story for Katrina, because I was actually in. No, wait, only because I
He wasn't
I have
in
one...
his basement at home.
No,
that's
wasn't in basement. And we'll get back to headlines in a second. But, Ollie, so you're in Beverly Hilton, right?
Yeah.
The Beverly Hilton. And I'm at a... I don't know what the hell I was.
Setting up for the Golden Globes, by the way. Not the Golden Globes. The Jerry Lewis Telethon.
Nice,
your people were there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I'm in a
hotel.
Well played,
Thank
sir.
You.
I'm in a hotel in Kansas. I think we're in Kansas City or in Houston. I forget. Either way, I was at a rodeo with Gary Miller. We were at a rodeo, and it was, again, CNN's on. It's Katrina, everything. Things are, or is it the weekend just after? I forget. Whichever way it was. And they were doing some sort of a benefit concert to raise money. And he looks over at me and goes, who do you think's next? And I go, Katrina and the Waves.
Well, they weren't walking on sunshine that weekend.
No, they were not.
It's amazing they did not get more work after that.
You would have
national tragedy.
Honestly,
custom
yeah, exactly,
fit.
Exactly.
Custom
the
fit.
Another the hotel rolls. Story. As a drunk with Shane Wright and Mark Martinez in the Hilton. I'd say it Hilton. Hilton.com. Go there. And the elevator at the Times Square Hilton has a TV in it, and we're there the weekend that we invaded Iraq, you know, because they had weapons of mass destruction. It was so clear. Right. So as we're going down, and we're all drunk, and they said that they had released Shock and Awe on Iraq, and I swear to God, Mark Martinez goes, they released Shaka Khan on Iraq?
They should have.
And every time somebody mentions, I mean, they've since, you know, got rid of Shock and Awe because we didn't shock them, awe them, or get Shaka Khan. I just think of Mark Martinez drunk on that elevator.
That's fantastic.
Like, but not the television host.
No.
Different Mark Martinez.
Different.
Same song.
Yeah.
Oh,
same
for
song.
The love
same
of
same song.
Because he's sober.
Right. Whatever. Joey Lawrence, whom, depending on how old you are, you remember from either Blossom, Jumping Ship, or Melissa and Joey, will be joining the legendary Chippendales in Las Vegas.
Whoa. Can we go?
What the fuck is Melissa and Joey?
I don't know, but let's go, because I remember him being
give
hot.
Me a break.
If you want to check.
I sure deserve it.
If you want to. Really? It's time I made it to the top. Wow, wow, wow.
Diabetes.
Right.
Sugarbeats.com.
Go there.
.com.
It took out a lovely woman.
So, yes. If you would like to check out, there's a picture of Joey Lawrence posted on our Facebook page.
Oh, I want to see that. Say, that
I know, I'm on my way right now.
That motherfucker's hot.
Oh, nice little tummy.
Joey, who was presumably devastated that he wasn't able to appear in the stripping movie Magic Mike, Lawrence, who's not fond of wearing a shirt anyway, is fulfilling his stripper needs with a stint with the famous show in Las Vegas. But the early 90s nostalgia lovers among us have to act fast because Lawrence will only appear as a special limited engagement through June 24th in Vegas with them.
Is that a real story?
That's a real story.
No, that's real.
Honest to God, real story.
I'm Googling him, and this fucker's hot.
No, he.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes. You weren't aware of this?
He got hotter.
He has gotten hotter over the years. It's ridiculous.
No. Okay, I got two words for you. Chip and fucking Dale. That's three words. I'm sorry, my bad.
I'm Chip, and that's Tail. Right there.
I have stripper needs, too, now, it turns out. Can I get to the methadone clinic?
So you need to go to Vegas for a couple of reasons.
Right.
The
Weather Channel Casino and Joey Lawrence.
He's like soccer guy hot.
He's cute.
What's the soccer guy that can't keep his clothes on? Yeah.
No, David Beckham.
He's bent, though. There's a movie about how bent he is.
The fact that I know that.
Huh? Anyway.
Look at this shit. Oh, my God. Listeners, viewers, whatever you are at home.
This isn't as good as the cat story.
Blossom then and now, Doc. Well, no, because I had love and admiration for that cat. I just want to hump this guy. Woo!
That's just... You're not...
For the love of God. In related news, Maya Bielik looks like hell.
Remember on Fat Actress when Kirstie Alley called her a cunt?
Oh, yeah. That was the highlight of the series.
That was the highlight of the series.
Which was a great series.
Blossom's a cunt.
I'm quoting,
so I'm allowed to say that.
Oh, I didn't. Well, quite right.
Fat Actress is one of the best shows on TV. I don't like that word.
Like you couldn't say it anyway.
It's fat, that's a good word to describe people, Al. Why don't you like the word fat?
Well, Clayton says we're growing. I didn't realize we were going to do a whole diet section.
We're not. Oh, trust me. This will never be the healthy show.
No.
In fact, the sports show that precedes us was telling somebody else that we're the lead-in, or they're the lead-in to a show that just does nothing but meaningless stories and liquor.
Yes! Finally, somebody
recognizes
the work we're doing.
A tagline I can get on board with.
I love it.
Meaningless topics and booze.
Can you get on with your
Can we change the Can we change the name of Clayton McKee to Meaningless Stories and Booze? Because I think it's got a better ring to
it.
But it wasn't booze. It was liquor.
I'm already in.
I don't care.
Whatever.
I'm just going to shut all your mics off.
The look on your
face.
I'm already in the process of rebranding, so don't worry about that. But this time, you all have to show up to the goddamn photo shoot. That's the difference.
Yeah, wouldn't that be
Well, if you don't have a Latino Leaders for America conference that day.
How come? I didn't go to that, which is odd.
I didn't know this was going to be this much fun.
The world's...
I didn't know I was going to love me so much.
The world's second biggest hamburger chain on Thursday is launching several pork, beef, and chicken sandwiches as limited time offers. And for a sweet ending to this story, the company is offering a bacon sundae.
That's vomit.
Vanilla soft serve with fudge, caramel, bacon crumbles, and a piece of bacon. By the way, this started in Nashville, Tennessee as a test product earlier this year. That's a true story.
Of course it did.
You can't get... you got the Weather Channel, some hot guy that's taking his clothes off, and bacon.
Not that I just
seriously,
like bacon,
just,
but for the love,
it's like
really.
It's like you hired me a hooker. So like all
Happy
my basic
birthday,
needs fulfilled. Yeah.
Oh. You know.
And I've got my precious cat here in front of me. I want a picture with my cat.
Okay.
And then we can post it on Facebook. Hold
on. What's going on in our chat room anyway?
He doesn't. Oh, wait. JP is actually saying Joey doesn't actually strip. He can just walk around and he entertains the audience shirtless.
He can just walk around my apartment
I
shirtless.
Agree.
One more.
I agree with that.
That would be fine with
me.
No. I don't want to make her pussy.
No, dude.
I can't believe.
We're doing a photo shoot. Please.
We've lost the show to
an
in-studio photo shoot between Marnie, who can barely work an iPad.
Oh.
And Al, who doesn't like to have his picture taken.
Mean.
I don't, but I love everything more when this cat's involved.
What's the cat's name?
I don't know. Wilbur or Orville.
Orville! They were the Wright brothers.
Yeah, it was either something to do with my popcorn or my airplane.
They were the Wright brothers, and one of them was alive, remember, and was looking at the
He was
network,
perplexed.
Like,
no, I think both Wright brothers are dead, sweetie. It's been like 100 years.
No. Right.
No, the
Come
cat.
On.
The cat.
I got my finger on the pulse of the Wright brothers, too. They're dead.
Whitney dead.
Real
Whitney
dead.
Dead.
They're Whitney.
They're like George Washington
Clayton
dead.
Clayton Mackey?
All right, Clayton Mackey.
Yeah, go on, Clayton Mackey.
A new kind of hotel offers couples a quick getaway from each other. At the divorce hotel, unhappily married couples can check out Okay, I'm just going to stop.
No, go.
Sorry.
No, because what are you doing?
I'm listening.
You said you were turning my microphone down.
Yeah, me, I thought so too.
No, that's a lie. I wasn't trying.
I was in the timeout corner.
I had the dunce cap. Leave it alone.
At the divorce hotel, unhappily married couples can check out of their marriages with a weekend package that includes lawyers and luxury accommodations, separate, of course. They arrive on Friday when we give them everything they need to leave Sunday with divorce papers in hand. You are just.
I'm not involved in this. I don't know what's going on.
You two are left. You're left.
Make send that to me. Send that to me now. Since this is the show about planning Al's funeral, that's the picture on my casket.
Oh my God.
I don't want an open coffin anymore.
Oh my God.
That is how I love that cat.
Oh my God.
Where is Nemec Photography, one of our sponsors when we need them?
Oh my God. That is. You've got to send that. Just
I'm sending it to you right now.
Or just just post it on the Facebook page because okay. That picture, oh my God. At this point, I think Al's been taxidermed. Can we put propellers on his paws?
Yes, please. Yes, I can't wait. I want to chase cows. Oh, I have so many dreams.
Christ on the cross. Oh my God, that was funny.
All right, so divorced couples go to a hotel. And
I don't
what
know.
Happened?
I don't. How does it get better than that?
I'm sorry, Clayton. I'm afraid I can't answer that.
Of course, you can't answer that, sir. It doesn't get better than that.
I love Siri. Oh, I don't remember. So I don't like the story. Can we move on?
Yeah.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Divorced couples.
I thought what we could do is bring the story back to the fact that, you know, it's all the gays that are going to ruin marriage when they got a goddamn hotel that you can check into
that's boring,
and get divorced in a weekend. But they're bringing it to America.
Nice.
It exists other places.
It's a Dutch hotel somewhere.
America.
But he's working on bringing it for $2,500 to $10,000, depending on the complexity. Oh. You can go in one weekend, in 3 days, divorce is done. You walked out single and free.
Oh, that's a wanted song. Young men, single and free. No tune. I got to auto-tune it so we don't pay for it. She already sang America.
I know.
You do so good. You amuse the shit out of me with the news stories.
You do.
Well, now I've got one closer to home for you, Alfred.
Oh, my God.
Niagara Falls luring graduates with financial incentives. Have you heard of this?
This has got to be The Onion because Niagara Falls has no money.
No, this is dead ass serious. This was national news today. Niagara Falls isn't the only one, but they were the one that the story was about.
Okay.
Because apparently, and you can attest to this, how dismal is living in Niagara Falls?
I left.
20 years ago.
Yeah, 26 years ago.
They are so desperate for rejuvenation of that city that they are touting, or they're trying to get all recent graduates from high school or from colleges to come live in that city. They're going to give them all $291 a month towards paying down their student loan debt to get them to make up residency in Niagara Falls to build something there because everybody's evacuating.
There's no industry. There's an organization, and this year I think I'm going to miss it. It's called Niagara Rises, and I've gone to the dinner a couple years in a row. My friend Eileen Sorrow runs it. Now, she doesn't run it, but she's a big supporter of it. And they're just trying to get businesses, like people that graduate from the culinary school that's at Niagara Community College. Like, when she graduates the school, please open a business here. Yeah. Do something with our downtown area.
That's what they were talking about.
We have one of the seven natural – it's not one of the wonders of the world, but it's one of the seven natural wonders of the world or in America. It's really not that big a deal.
The Falls.
But with the Falls. They have it there, but the tourists all go to Canada because it's so much more developed, and the American side is a little run down. The industry all left about 30 years ago. And it's just a great thing because it's a pretty place. And now that everything, all the industry's gone, all they have to do is kind of clean up the blight, get rid of the plants that made the factories that made the pollution are mostly closed.
Like the Nabisco plant that your dad worked in?
Yes, closed, done. Nabisco no longer comes out. It's not the Niagara Falls Treats anymore. But that factory still sits there. They don't have the money to tear down these old factories that are right there on 10th Street, which is literally 10 blocks from the falls.
I'm thinking circuit party.
Could you imagine? Nice. You want to talk about warehouse. But there are so many things down there, but they're all surrounded by factories. So
nobody wants to go because it looks like shit. So move in some people, clean it up.
Right.
Make it some nightlife.
But they're taking old office buildings. They're making apartments. There's a couple little things going on down there. And even in the people, I'm from an area called LaSalle, which is over a hill from downtown Niagara Falls. It's still Niagara Falls, but it's over like a little tiny hill.
I forgot we had handouts.
And it's...
I forgot we had handouts.
I can't wait till our black and whites come in color.
Well, I don't have a color printer. There's Madonna's nipple. And then there's Joey Lawrence.
Oh, well, I didn't need to see that.
Well, nobody did, really.
Because that really looks like just a guy. That looks like a guy.
She's a man. Ladies and gentlemen. Seriously. Oh, and I love that Madonna has no fear. Yeah, we figured out you had no fear about your nipples about 30 years ago when you were in Penthouse.
did you have something, Marty, you wanted to yak about?
Oh.
So Niagara Falls, go there, visit. I do. That's it.
I did. I thought that there were a couple of interesting things that that I found today after my internet came back up all day long.
I'm glad you changed that service that saved you so much money.
I am, too. Thanks so much for bringing that up. Thought of you today.
Yeah.
Who's our non-sponsor in that story?
Yeah, that's Century Place.
Century Place.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea, I thought about us because of our cute little show and the fact that we tend to have some colorful language.
Colorful, yes.
Colorful.
Can I get a snack?
Middleborough, Massachusetts.
I'm going to try to
hear about the $20 fine if you swear in public.
Oh, I did. Oh. I heard about that today on the radio.
Yeah.
I did. Oh, Jesus.
Do I have to chip in? What's your catchphrase?
Do I have to chip in for this?
Oh, Buddy Early's catchphrase comes in handy in this town. Do I have to chip in?
Yeah, there was this whole thing about $20 fine, but it's not about like in your house or perhaps something like this. It's about public.
Right. They actually referred to it as some sort of a swear jar, which made me laugh.
Right. Yeah.
Hysterical. 183 votes to 50 made this pass.
Made it pass?
Yes. Made
what
it
the
pass.
Hell?
So we're in a town of 223 fuckers. $60 for those of you that don't have a calculator.
Exactly. Wow. Nice work. So anyway, I thought that was very interesting, and we'd be fucked.
Could you pass that to Clayton?
Can they get a fat jar? We need a fat jar. I need more drinks.
You called us fat. You said we were growing as you watched.
The show.
Oh,
that's right.
I took it personally.
The other thing
How can you see that? I'm under the table. You can't even see that.
And why don't you go ahead and eat that goddamn muffin, whatever you just got.
I am.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So, I sent this to you, Clayton, the woman in Nebraska. Did you watch that?
I don't think I did.
There was a video I sent to you.
I didn't realize you sent me something.
I sure did.
He loves you.
About this woman in Nebraska. I got to tell you, a friend of mine, Jay Ettinger, God bless him, put this on Facebook. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, now, come on. I mean, you have North Carolina crazy.
Oh, Marnie, this is like 3 weeks old.
No, well, this just was on there like yesterday.
Okay.
She just got her internet back.
This is a woman on the verge of technical disaster.
Well, I don't know that. Well, you haven't been
Do you know
here.
That Donna Summer's dead?
I did not. This is such a sad day. Oh. Y'all can fuck off.
I'm just trying to get you up with the news 3 weeks ago.
Anyway, well, let me ask. You just pipe down, mister.
All right.
Have you heard anything about Jane Svoboda?
I don't leave the
Svoboda?
House. Is Nebraska a city?
What?
Did you hear about this old bitch who went on a rant?
No, but you're going to tell me.
Yeah, I plan on it.
Yes. And she said, and we love this at work. I just got a text last night at work, that anal licking causes sepsis. Right.
It says, that because she wouldn't say it, the penis goes into the anus to rupture intestines. The more a man does
How
this,
big is your penis to get
the
to the intestines?
The more likely he'll be a fatality or a homicider.
A homicider.
You can't make that up. And after stating that a huge percent of gay men in school grounds molest boys, partly because they don't have AIDS yet, she says. Hillary Clinton's roommate 4 years in college was a gay woman. To avoid being gay like Clinton did, college students need single rooms and single gender dorms. College woman is seduced with illegal Rohypnol to go gay. That's what we do.
I please roofie
me. And finally, she proclaims Jesus was kissed by Judas, you know, a homo, who tried to sabotage Jesus' kind ideas.
Kind.
You choose Jesus? A celibate or Judas? A homo?
Well played.
Isn't that absurd, though? I mean, where are these people fucking coming from?
In related news, the Jerry Sandusky trial started this
week.
Yeah, exactly.
Because pedophiles are predominantly heterosexual.
You gotta love these people, though, because they do... Excuse me.
Bless you.
I mean, aside from Clayton,
they
pedophiles
are just
heterosexual.
There's such great publicity for gay equality because you look at these people. You might remember Karen Johnson, who was a longtime representative, who has since really come around and done an amazing, I wouldn't say 180, but pretty close.
Her hair looks better.
But was always just saying the most god-awful, stupidest shit.
And they usually have a gay son.
And that's all you could ask for. You know, it's one thing for... You know, me or you or Babe Kather to get up and say gay equality, you know, because we're gay. It's better to have someone like Karen Johnson or this old hag up there talking about the penis going into the intestines and making it so ridiculous. And that's the best thing we could ask for.
It is. And
in some places, you pay extra for that. I'm just saying. I don't know.
If I could get a PENIS anywhere near me.
Much less your anus. I don't get it.
I'd go to the methadone clinic like 3 times a week.
Where did methadone come from? Like, I kind of want her to just move to North Carolina to be with that minister.
Okay, so I get this Casey. I call her Casey Recycle. That's her last name isn't Recycle, but we call her Recyclops because she's so crazy. And Casey, longtime listener, she downloads every week.
Hi, Casey.
And she has the alarm on her phone to tell us when we're starting live. She's working tonight, I think. But I am still on the same bottle for my bottle of water. I have only used one bottle of water since we started the show. It's been my goal
to reduce.
Yeah. I'm doing the part of the reduce, recycle, reuse. Oh. So she sends me a text last night out of nowhere. All I said was come visit me because I was working in a different part of the restaurant. Okay, I'm in the count, even though I was supposed to be resourced. I'm also caught up on Tosh, and anal licking causes sepsis. And I'm reading my phone, and she's very inappropriate.
We have a whole other hour to talk about so many more things.
But I just had to laugh that some girl that I work with, some straight girl I work with, is like, anal licking causes sepsis. And I'm like, well, I didn't do it today. What are you worried about?
Yeah,
and then she tells me it's because of that thing.
What this crazy bitch says the whole time, like through this whole like 7-minute rant. And the guy in the background is my favorite.
It causes hepatitis, though. That's true.
He is hysterical. Well, in the background, like, what?
Let's talk about that more after we do come back. We're going to start off with the sports segment. Hopefully, Buddy's got something pulled together.
Anal licking with Buddy Hurley.
He's looking at the Joey Lawrence picture pretty fucking hard right now.
Yes.
It's the show on Q Talk America. It's Clayton, Marnie, Al, and Buddy. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It's 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday night. Hour 2 beginning just as smoothly as Hour 1 did, but maybe a little better. We've had a little more time to absorb some liquor. Oh, how are you? Are you feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling great.
Buddy's good?
Is Buddy ready for all that's about to happen?
I don't know.
Because Moonshine Week, we lost him.
Moonshine Week,
we lost him.
That,
and then
much,
last week when Aaron did it, it was funny. Just as it
but
was just
Buddy,
so funny.
If you have not, you should listen to the show with Clayton McKee at home. And
what is it called?
Mackie. Clayton
Mackie. I swear to God, I'm changing the
name.
But
you have got to listen to the week where you fuck up the sports. If you have not listened to that yet,
it is hilariously funny.
I peed my pants in the studio, as I found out later when my shorts were wet. And at home, I came pretty close, but I have a bathroom.
It was very funny when you're like, it's sports!
Sports!
Funny, funny stuff. Well, let's try it again. Let's kick off hour two with our lovely sports segment with the one and only Mr. Buddy Early.
And here are our sports headlines. LeBron versus Durant highlights NBA Finals. Phoenix Coyotes lease deal approved by the city of Glendale. Another black eye for boxing as Pacquiao suffers defeat.
Turn page.
Shoe giant gets serious about sports equality, and convicts take cup back down under.
Those sports stories and more right now on Q Talk America.
That's right. Not since the Larry Bird Magic Johnson showdowns of the 1980s has the NBA seen a finals series with this kind of matchup. LeBron James and Kevin Durant, arguably the two best basketball players on the planet, are leading their teams tonight in game one of the best of seven championship series. The Heat's big three of LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh will face the Thunder's trio of Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. Most prognosticators are expecting this series to go the distance, which means Oklahoma City, which is very tough to beat at home, will have a Game 7 in their arena. And just an update, I see that at the end of the third quarter, the Thunder lead 74-73.
Was there something I heard earlier? As there, a lot of people know, I'm here and I kind of operate the Compete Sports show that precedes us. Mm-hmm. There was a comment made, and I didn't fully hear it, something in regards to Was it the Oklahoma Thunder?
Yes.
Contributing?
This is a story that just broke a couple of hours ago by the website OutSports and Sid Ziegler over there. And I posted it on my Facebook page, and I haven't even had a chance to read it because I posted it right as we came on the air.
Okay.
Just sent a link to
my page. What do you know
the
of
Oklahoma
it so far?
City Thunder, two of their owners, now I don't know how many owners they have and how big of owners they are, these are, but apparently two of the owners of the Oklahoma City Thunder have given $1.5 million to fight gay marriage in their state. So to
in
oppose
Oklahoma,
gay equality. Yes.
Wow, I didn't know.
Oh, to fight it.
So, yeah.
Oh, so yeah. Okay.
So I don't know, you know, people who are maybe rooting for the Oklahoma City Thunder, which I think is the majority of people.
In Oklahoma City?
Really? No, majority of people around the country.
I have never heard of this
But you've heard of Miami Heat, and probably what you've heard is negative by a lot of people.
Well, now LeBron is the one that's only searching for a title. Like, his only goal in life is to get a championship title, and he left Cleveland.
Right.
Because even hot in Cleveland.
Betty White makes jokes about this.
Right.
And they did the big TV thing where who was going to pick him, right?
Right. Where he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Right.
And so that's why people hate him, because of that. I like LeBron. I always have. And so that didn't really change my opinion of him. you know,
he's a good friend.
LeBron is got a great personality, in my opinion. I've liked him since he came into the league. He's charitable. From all accounts, he's a good father. You know, he doesn't...
He's not contributing to anti-gay marriage.
He's not a dirty player, yet people hate him because of the decision, which was a horrible PR mistake.
And it is.
But he was 25 years old and got some really bad advice. And I just kind of like, you know what? I liked LeBron before. I'm going to continue liking him.
And ego plays into these things. Somebody, I'm going to swing this around really quick, full circle.
Too late.
somebody asked me about like why I watch award shows, and I'm like, I just like to watch people like get a crown, like achieve success.
I love that.
Like finally get validation.
Me too.
And I like it when you watch the Olympics and a little stale because they're from Sunday. Yeah. Clayton has discovered that the pastries are Clayton.
Shut up.
I know where to go if you chip a tooth.
Mm. So I worry because it feels so genuine when you're watching, especially at the Olympics, or you're watching a championship moment, like even the LA Kings, and they may all be guns for sale. I don't know. Guns for hire, whatever the word is. They're skating around, but it seems very genuine. But him leaving just to find somewhere where he has a better chance
but
to win.
But he's not the first person to ever do that.
He's
and
not,
won't be the last.
But he did
his
it in
was
the
very
worst
high profile
possible way. Like,
way. And, you know, as far as his decision to leave...
I'm not
going to
cry when I watch him win something.
As far as his decision to leave Cleveland, that was absolutely the best decision for him. It was the television fiasco that
handled
really ill-advised.
Really poorly.
But people may want to know that Oklahoma City owners are giving a ton of money to beat any gay marriage equality in their state. So in case that might sway there,
and that's my bias. I think that's what I think of any of those corn states or vowel states, as I like to call them,
the square states.
Like I just think that to me, that's why you live in those places is because. And please, if you're listening from one of those states, prove me wrong. But you know that they're just like closed minded.
Are you talking about like Iowa?
Right.
I'm gonna say no.
Middle America, basically.
But there's always say no because like, they have gay marriage.
There's always that thing in movie. Right. No, Iowa does.
Right.
But there's always that thing, and okay. So you're gonna negate everything I'm about to say.
I don't mean to.
But there's
just,
always that thing about
we have
to play in Iowa. Will it play in Iowa when they do movie developments? When they do any kind of TV shows?
Sure,
will it play in Iowa? Why do we have to dumb it down for fucking Iowa?
No, you're absolutely right. First of all,
make a movie for me.
Your point is not disproved because even though Iowa has gay marriage, it's not because the majority of the people there are supportive of marriage equality. Mm-hmm. It's because of something else. But to your point exactly, I always get so fucking tired of people talking about the big cities or the coasts and
we're the real America.
You know what? The real America is in the cities.
Right.
I'm sorry. And
well, the real America is everywhere. I'm just as much a real.
I am
until
exactly.
you stop taking my fucking taxes. I'm a real American.
And people in the
and
quote,
I pay a lot
real
of
America
taxes.
And middle America make so much business about, you know, the Northeast or California as if they're evil. You know what? That's real America too. And there's a lot of people there.
And it's where the bulk of the population is.
They are also the ones who are moving this country forward, you know, these big cities and the left and right coasts. So that's where progress is happening.
I'm sorry, Oklahoma. If you were a threat, they wouldn't have attacked New York City. They would have attacked you.
On a positive
note.
That's
evil, but I'll stick by it.
On a positive note, in regards.
I was going to go back to the fact that they kind of were.
What?
What's that?
Nothing.
On a positive note.
What?
Nothing. I'm being political. I'm going to go back.
But I want to know.
I don't even
No, I mean, as far as like just being attacked. Oklahoma City was attacked.
But, right, but by an American. But by a militia.
By Americans.
By a white American Christian militia.
Agree, but if we have a listener in Oklahoma.
Right, they were attacked, but they were not attacked by a foreign source.
You're right.
That's
you're
by
right.
a white
you're
Christian. Right. He's from North Tonawanda right. or somewhere in Buffalo.
Yep.
He's some crazy
right.
motherfucker, but he's
you're
a
right.
white American. Like,
right.
uh-uh.
I can go with that.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Just because I want 45 seconds of my own show to
yeah.
talk.
Well, it's still called your name.
Yeah.
Mackie.
Interestingly enough, I graduated high school out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The last 2 years of high school, that's where
that.
I went, actually, yeah. So I spent a lot of time, obviously, in that area, Oklahoma City. The only president I ever saw in person, we had a field trip day. I actually got to see Ronald Reagan in person in Norman, Oklahoma at a convention, not because I was old enough to understand any political affiliation. It was just I had an opportunity, so I went, because when am I ever going to get to see, you know, aside from Air Force One flying in and out of Phoenix, which I never thought I would see, which was pretty cool.
Really cool.
Anyway, the point of the story is going back to the mentality of people in Oklahoma or those Midwest states, I have been very, very surprised, and it's Facebook. Granted, I'm not sitting across the table from somebody, but on all of the people who I was always wondering what would happen if I ever came out back home, the people that are on Facebook, even guys that were total redneck, I thought back the day, I would say the bullies, because I really never got bullied, other than just being heavy. But the gay thing was never really a big deal. I've always been very, very pleasantly surprised with all the people that are on my Facebook that champion, that listen to this show, or that are all for everything that, you know, I don't sit there and bitch about equality and bitch about marriage and all that stuff, but they're all 100% on board with everything because they love
the person. Because you can,
right. They are looking at the person. So I'm hoping that that's the majority and not these whoever the hell owns that team.
Who knows? I mean, a part of it, I always, like, because we all live in Central Phoenix too, I'm always surprised if I go out to the East Valley and I'm like, people think differently out here, because it's hard for me to imagine
that
people are not so progressive and gay friendly, because everywhere in Central Phoenix for the most part is.
Oh yeah.
And but, so you surround yourself with the people who are maybe like-minded, even if they're from 25 years ago. It's still
it's hard to stay discriminate against people once you know them. Mm-hmm. Once you know them personally.
Without a doubt.
And the Rick Santorum argument against college, because the thing about most colleges, unless you go to Oral Roberts University, not certified, not a university, and neither is the other one by the other fucking pastor, Doug Wilkie. Tell us what that
Liberty.
One is. Liberty, yeah, motherfuckers.
All right.
But the reason you go to college and it's called liberal arts, and it's not a fake name, it's because you meet so many people that your worldview increases,
sure,
and all of a sudden you understand like the whole world's not white Christian. Especially like from my upbringing, where everybody
was white
Christian, that your worldview increases and you start to be like, oh, that's not really true. Every time you hear a horrible stereotype, and maybe if I go live in Oklahoma for a year, I won't think horrible things about them because I'll have met them, and I won't go with the stereotypes of this bitch that's on there, you know, talking about PENIS. Am I spelling that correctly? I haven't seen one in a long time. Last one I saw didn't have a name tag on. So I always wonder about that. Like, but get out in the world, meet more people, see more people, and you will become less prejudiced. Like it's the truest thing in the world. And get out of Mesa. If you live in Mesa, move.
Right.
That's my message.
Exactly.
Unless you're Sergeant Ed Castillo.
Well, no, and then move faster. No.
Move to Central Phoenix.
Get out of my head.
Come on.
Go ahead, buddy.
I'm going to move on to another story here. After 3 years of troubles marked by bankruptcy and failed negotiations, the Phoenix Coyotes have a likely new owner who promises to keep the team in Phoenix under a $325 million taxpayer-funded agreement approved last week by the Glendale City Council.
It's a 20-year agreement. He has no choice.
Right.
Like, you didn't just pinky swear. You signed a goddamn financial agreement with the city of Glendale.
Yeah. Oh, and believe me, not everybody's happy about
this. Oh, no, I've heard.
The council.
Wait, now what about your group that you were talking about that poo-poos everything?
Yes, but they're obviously poo-pooing this. The council actually voted 4-2 in favor. The mayor, actually, Mary Lane Scruggs, was one who voted against it. She questioned why the city would support an agreement while its own budget was under strain, but a council majority decided the benefits of keeping the Coyotes. They decided that outweighed the costs. Enter the infamous Goldwater Institute.
There they are.
Arizona's annoying watchdog group that tries to throw a wet blanket on anything that resembles progress. The right-wing organization has sought a temporary restraining order to halt the vote, arguing that the city had not yet released documents key to the understanding to understanding the financial deal that was proposed. Attorneys for the city said major documents had been provided starting last Monday. And just today, there's more. This is an ongoing story. A judge has denied that temporary restraining order, and it looks like this is moving forward.
Where is WikiLeaks when we need them to get all the documents out?
Without the Goldwater Institute, they're going to keep trying, I'm sure, because they are representing the taxpayers, if you listen to them.
They're not even representing Goldwater.
Here's the thing.
I mean, they're fuckers.
No, they're absolutely not. And with
Goldwater
regard to this
whole
issue,
yeah.
the Goldwater Institute is getting a lot of funding from Canadian sources specifically to fight the Coyotes deal here because Canada wants the Coyotes.
That's an interesting twist.
Canadians who want them because they came
from
Winnipeg.
Oh.
And a few years ago, they almost moved back to Winnipeg, but then Winnipeg went to Atlanta and took their team back.
If you, ladies and gentlemen, listeners at home, if you're still with us, if you can find Winnipeg on a map, I'll give you $5 next time I see you.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Got it. Go ahead, buddy.
All right.
We got to get you the drinking disclaimer before too much.
You can pretty much set your watch by it. The sport of boxing is dealing with another controversy after Timothy Bradley's upset win over Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas Saturday night. The split decision has the boxing world reeling since most viewers and courtside experts felt the previously unbeaten Pacquiao was the clear winner. The crowd at the MGM Grand...
Even the box... Somebody's father agreed. So is it
one
Mayweather's father?
Probably.
Mayweather's father was like, this shit's rigged.
Well, the crowd at the MGM Grand Arena booed, and Pacquiao seemed stunned when the decision was announced. And the promoter Bob Arum, who is the promoter for both of these fighters, he came out and said, this is a bunch of bullshit. He says, quote, I've never been as ashamed of the sport of boxing as I am tonight. But I think he probably has, and he probably will be again, because boxing is full of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Marnie, go ahead and post that. Just post it.
Even before this match, though, Saturday night, they were already promoting the rematch this November.
Right. Something's amiss.
We were having a little conversation before the
show
because
in the state of
we were listening to the previous show before us.
Right.
And they were kind of touching on a similar topic. And I was talking to Al about, you know, even though I may like to watch things like figure skating and gymnastics, I don't put a lot of credit into judged sports as far as the outcomes. It's much like going to a pageant for me. Like, I don't really care who wins. I just want to see the pretty gowns and the cute dancing boys.
Oddly, you might find this shocking. I found a new wonderful thing for my HDTV,
Yeah, we don't mention what we own anymore.
Good Lord.
He has a 6-inch TV. It's black and white.
Heavy
rabbit
as hell.
Ears.
No cable.
Oh, my God. The gymnastics tryouts that were
on this weekend.
On NBC on Saturday. Holy.
I'm so mad I missed that.
Oh, good Lord.
Danelle Lavia, I believe.
I was happy with all of them. There wasn't anybody I was upset
about.
I'm sure
you were.
It was a wonderful day on NBC. Marnie, did you have something sports related? You look like you were doing something.
Oh, the only sports thing that I really had was I just wanted to thank y'all for the last 8 weeks because every Tuesday, the only time, I get exercise every Tuesday by running to the bathroom and then running back. And I actually
getting away from the Scooby van.
We love the Scooby van.
We do. We love them.
I ran from it, but we love the Scooby van. No, but I really do. And every week I try to take more stairs, two at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm now at 6. So I'm almost.
You are
to
not
the top.
Launching six yeah. stairs at a
six
time.
Six stairs at a time.
No, not.
I thought that's what she was.
No,
being
I mean,
last
like,
week she thought I was doing all kinds of bicycle tricks. So I'm going to let you have
that's
this.
True.
I'm going to live in your fantasy world too.
No, like where the first week I like went up to go up the stairs.
Yes.
And like took two and then was like, yeah, fuck that.
Oh, okay. So you mean
and
six
then,
times you're going
right,
to
right, right, right. And then so now I'm to the top, and I'm very excited about that.
Oh, that's lovely.
But that's my exercise, and that's our sports segment for the week.
Everybody, Connie Chung tonight.
Yes.
Everybody, Connie Chung tonight.
Apparently, according to Marnie, we've just wrapped up the sports segment.
No,
so.
We haven't. I'm joking.
What do you got?
Well, I have one story that I really want
to
mention
go.
Because it's a feel good story.
Let's
I think.
Go because we got a drinking game to start.
This week in Beaverton, Oregon.
Beaverton,
Oregon.
I guess it's back to the Beaverton for you.
Shame Chung.
This week in Beaverton, Oregon, 30 leaders who are actively advocating for equality in sports are coming together at the Nike World Headquarters for the first ever Nike LGBT Sports Summit. The goal of this groundbreaking event is to create a team game plan for ending homophobia and transphobia in sports.
Transphobia?
Yes, trans.
I said it. Transphobia.
All right.
That takes advantage of the best thinking and strengths of each organization. For the better part of 3 days, summit participants will identify and commit to completing specific action plans toward ending anti-LGBT discrimination in sports. A few of the organizations involved in this inaugural summit include Campus Pride, ESPN, the Federation of Gay Games, GLAAD, GLSEN, the It Gets Better campaign, National Center for Lesbian Rights, the NCAA, and the website OutSports.
Oh! So,
good for them. It's long overdue. I'm really happy that they're doing this. We've been, the last few years, really been seeing a lot of progress, a lot of people coming out and in the sports world. Supporting.
I like how on the stack of notes for Buddy, he keeps that goddamn picture of Joey Lawrence right on top.
Well, I have not let the picture of the dead cat go away, I fully agree.
Not same song.
I'm pretty sure that if anybody watched the gymnastics tryouts last week, I'm pretty sure we got equality for a lot of people going on right there, because I was paying close attention to a lot of slapping, if you know what I mean, off stage.
For anybody about to rob my house, please don't do it on July 27th, because I am hosting a party for the opening ceremony of the Olympics.
All right.
I can't wait. And that's sports.
30 seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
Now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Good luck indeed.
I feel like you iTunes matched me. The sound quality of that got a little bit better.
I like it.
You did some mixing.
Just enjoy it. I've got time at home.
So produced by Clayton Mackey has gotten really good.
The productions by me is getting better and better and better.
You're the best Roz in the business.
So in case you are, again, drinking along at home, this is the portion of the program where we encourage, no matter what beverage you're having, should we say the magic word this week, which is...
Methadone.
Would one of you like to say it? Because that was...
That was bad.
Methadone.
Thank you.
Or sing it.
Methadone is a drinking word. Feel free to have a sip of whatever beverage you're having at home, be it Metamucil or Crown and Diet.
NyQuil.
We've heard nothing from you today. What are you drinking this evening?
I drink the same thing
I went with the easy question, so I could interrupt you.
Yeah, but we just wanted to hear your voice, for God's sake.
Oh, yes, no, it's...
By the way, please look up in your email to see that you got that.
Marnie's sending me stuff. All right, so the drinking word is methadone. We're talking about whatever the hell we want to talk about. I will look up my email in a second. However, I wanted to bring this up earlier, but I didn't feel it was headlines, because I figured organically Al would have brought this up all on his own.
I've done no research this week.
The 39th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards are coming up.
Don't get me started. I'm protesting.
Oh, I am too.
Why?
Lack of soap operas.
What does it matter? It's daytime television. Who fucking cares what it is?
Because they're not even on any station now. Like, look at the network that they're being broadcast on. It's gotten so low on the food chain.
So we can delve into this. But what I want to
your only thing you prepared for, and I shed a...
Yeah, that's normal. What I want to go through is, and these are in no specific order. There was a list of 10 most outrageous daytime TV moments. And I thought we might just relive some of these, just because we're going to remember several of these. on an episode of All My Children, the Pine Valley Explosion. Does anybody remember
I'm
that?
I'm familiar, yes.
You're familiar. Katie Couric's colonoscopy, yeah. which was on the Today Show.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Oprah's Wheelbarrow of
Fat.
Oh,
I remember that.
Oh.
Yeah. And she yeah. found it again in '80.
I remember the Pine Valley Explosion, actually.
I still miss yeah. when she came out and she's like, and you get a pizza, and you get a pizza.
Oh.
And, wait, no, that wasn't pizza.
Was the same
no, that was different. Yeah.
I don't want to pay the taxes on her pizzas. No. I'd rather pay the taxes on a fucking car and that fat cow.
When Tyra Banks went off on everybody and said, "You can kiss my fat butt." Remember, they said she was fat.
I actually don't remember that.
Some TV or some magazine took pictures of her and claimed that she was fat, so she went off on them. Who could forget Luke and Laura's wedding? I mean, that was...
I took 3 days off of school.
Did you really?
I did. And, by the way, was smart enough in fifth grade to know that I needed to take the Monday after as well. Don't think I didn't.
Oh, because you knew.
Because you knew, yeah.
You knew.
Yeah, I knew. In fifth grade, I fucking knew. Mr. Ohms, sorry I couldn't be there. But
what was better television in 1979, 80?
Who shot JR?
Google it. No,
oh.
no.
Oh, tomorrow,
you.
By the way.
Fuck you. Luke and Laura's wedding.
Yeah, no. Oh, absolutely.
How'd you get to JR?
I thought you were going with that. Better than what?
Better than Luke and Laura. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
He wasn't making a comparison. He was saying what was better than that.
Got it. Oh, I apologize.
We are on the same team, sweetheart. Stop.
By the way, she is now on my soap opera that I've been watching for 27 years.
Young and the Restless?
28 years, yes.
Yes, yes.
She's on.
Always been the top of the ratings, nice. Surprisingly. Since she left the other show, they've been winning.
They've been on top of the ratings since like 1988.
We are so lost on topics. What is your name again? Ladies and gentlemen, home, if you don't know, I love the Clayton Mackey.
Another one, but it doesn't
come across in the show.
Another one of the top 10 most outrageous daytime TV moments from the 80s was Marlena's exorcism on Days of Our Lives.
I totally remember
Days
that.
Days of Our Lives. Should you enjoy marijuana? I'm not condoning it in any way, shape, or form. Well, maybe I am. Get stoned, watch Days of Our Lives, and I'm sure Stefano's still on there somewhere. I have a plan. That is the best way to spend an hour of your afternoon. It is nice. The Days of Our Lives.
Sands will go through the hourglass very quickly.
Yeah.
In 1985's episode of All My Children, Erica Kane battled a grizzly bear.
Oh, I totally remember that.
Do you
she
really?
Did.
Yes,
she did.
I remember
so
that.
Many trials. So many trials.
All My Children, I DVR'd that. And taped it, as it were.
And this one's rather recent. The Rosie versus Elizabeth battle.
With Sherry Shepherd as a guest hostess.
Always good.
And I swear she got the job because she sat through that. I swear to God she got the job as the permanent host because she was the guest host that day.
Okay. Oh.
And because she had to sit through it with Joy Behar screaming, somebody go to commercial. Do we not have commercials on the show?
Oh, yep. I missed that. I could probably YouTube it and see that.
Oh,
it's all
they did
on
a whole
there.
Split screen
because
thing.
They had established their war weeks before because Elizabeth had been was pregnant. And Rosie O'Donnell was getting a lot of shit from talk radio about picking on the pregnant Elizabeth.
Oh.
And she was done. Right. She was done because Donald Trump and her had been in a feud.
Nope.
And one of the fat white guys on talk radio was after Rosie O'Donnell and saying that she was picking on a pregnant woman. And Rosie and Elizabeth were almost friends. They were almost friendly with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so offended because Elizabeth held her own. And I have to say that, like, Doug Wilkie hates Elizabeth Hasselbeck, but she's coming around. She's very pro-gay marriage.
She's coming around. I agree.
But she was so – everyone was so offended that talk radio was saying that this big fat dyke was making fun of a pregnant woman. And it was so anti-woman, the campaign for Elizabeth Hasselbeck. It was that conversation we're on week three of.
Yep.
It went the wrong way, but that is great television. And they went as soon as they went split screen.
You
split
knew screen,
Rosie
knew.
O'Donnell quit the minute they went split screen. They almost lost the entire cast because they knew.
Yep.
And it was an honest conversation. And I'll say it right now, like when you're in Iraq, this is your show, and I hate to do this too.
Go ahead.
If you're an Iraqi, who are the terrorists? And Rosie, it's a thought provoking question. And Rosie O'Donnell had raised it in Fox News and talk radio.
Yep.
Got all up in her shit for calling the American troops terrorists.
Right.
From our point of view, from the gay point of view, from I think this is called Q Talk Arizona or Q Talk America.
America.
Who are the I'll only say this for me, not in anyone else's name. To me, the terrorists are Christians. Like right now, the terrorists in my life are this woman Are these preachers in North Carolina?
People
these
that
people
claim
in
to
churches?
Be Christians. That's my deal.
Right. But so it's a question of who in your life, who are the
we
terrorists?
We are not drinking nearly enough.
No, we're not. Oh, my God. Methadone.
Methadone! Jesus Christ.
There are two more top 10
All right. But I just have to get on there because it was, it's an interesting moment of TV that's on YouTube.com.
We'll have to look that up.
At the methadone clinic.
When Geraldo got his nose broken.
Oh, totally remember.
And I didn't do it. I have a witness.
That was great.
I have an alibi.
Who was the guy that smoked all the time? Remember the.
Was he a methadone?
Martin Downey Jr.
When he carved the swastika into his own forehead in the airport.
I remember that.
That was good time. And he smoked all the time on TV.
Now, was he in a methadone clinic?
I think he was.
And rounding out our list, and no in certain order, when Tom Cruise jumped on the couch on Oprah,
I have a daytime related adjacent thing. My favorite thing, and the reason that I know what YouTube is, because the first time I ever looked up on YouTube was when a VCR tape that had died, and what I lost was my favorite moment of television ever, and still in 2012, according to the Atomic Clock, 8:28 on June 6th, 12th?
12.
There's so many goddamn numbers. What is the 78 thing about?
Degrees in the room.
Oh, it's 78 degrees. A lovely embalming.
My blood pressure. We're keeping track of it.
My favorite thing.
That's good.
And find it on YouTube, and I cry every time. Whenever I need to cry, whenever I need to smile, whenever I need to feel better about the human race, I watch Susan Lucci win that Emmy with Rosie O'Donnell holds her purse. And what's the cute black guy's name that gives her
Shamar Moore.
The drought is over. That is the first thing I ever found on YouTube, and YouTube .com has been the when I'm in the methadone clinic, drink, buddy. The drinking game is for you. He cheats. Every fucking week he cheats.
Somebody brought up, and I saw this on a headline, somebody brought up Dallas just a minute ago. The headline was a newly revived TV series where JR begs to be shot.
Every day on the toilet, I get more caught up on the story of the new. But Jesse Metcalf, a Mexican with overly tweaked eyebrows.
Ain't mad.
No. Seriously, he is how Dateline and La Migra are coming to your house.
Is but he Dateline, on Methadone?
If they can
find him. He's out. Buddy Early gets it in.
Okay. Yeah,
I have not heard that in a long time.
That just sounded
wrong.
P-E-N-I-S.
I just found also earlier today when I was looking up the stuff.
Your P-E-N-I-S?
The Daytime Emmys. No, you will never find that online. The Daytime Emmy stuff, which I thought you would bring up. But anyway, they had one of those things where you can enter your name and it will generate what your soap opera name should be.
I
took the liberty.
Of doing all of ours?
I'm doing all of ours.
I wait eagerly.
Well, you have two because you're going to play twins.
Ooh.
Because there's Missy Elliott.
All right, I have to interrupt you for just a second.
That's fantastic.
The best part about me on a soap opera is I would get a nice twin because I'm already the evil one.
Exactly.
So
my twin would come in singing the Sound of
you
Music.
You would be David Canary on All My Children because
oh,
he
I
was
love
the
him.
And then he got the retarded.
And this is why
twin.
We're protesting the daytime Emmys.
So Buddy, for some reason when I entered Buddy Early, it came out your name is Otto Freeman.
Otto Freeman, like Otto Titzling, inventor and Kraut.
O-T-T-O.
I'm going to wear an eye patch.
Otto Freeman.
Well, you'll be in disguise at the methadone clinic.
I'm throwing an accent in there, but I'm not sure if you have an accent or not in the series.
I would get an accent.
For some reason, my name entered. I become J.P. Monroe.
I find you intriguing and lightly mysterious.
Right. Maybe terrifying.
I found you light. Just cling to that.
Because
on the radio, I don't seem to love you as much as I do in person.
It's for ratings. We do it for ratings.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
What he means is downloads.
In Missy Owl's case, I entered two different ways because, well, actually, it's the same name, but you can enter male or female. So
that's even better.
Eugenia Hunter.
Can I make it Eugenia? I want to be Eugenia.
Eugenia Hunter, and your twin is Ferlin Hunter.
Oh. Ooh.
I'd fuck both of them.
I had to laugh when I entered Dear Marnie's.
Oh, Lord.
Because Marnie, I don't know.
Now, did you do male or female for her because of the voice?
No, I did female for her. Oh. I did male on all of us.
Thanks.
You got the double dip, and she gets a
can I be? Can I be played by Dorothy Lyman?
Nice choice.
Good
nice choice.
Call.
Thank you.
For some reason, Marnie comes out as Esther Cox. In this.
A clear winner.
I don't know why, but that's the way it is.
Well,
I came up as Ferland due to a lack of manscaping. That's all I can say.
Well, a sweet old lady who runs a methadone clinic.
Clink!
Ladies and gentlemen, Esther Cox, your methadone distributor.
Oh, wait, I got to take two drinks. Please, everyone at home, just take a break. Look at yourself.
That's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Or look at me in the picture on the Facebook page.
Let me see if that's come up.
Or look at this picture of Joey Lawrence.
Well, that's a lovely vision, isn't it?
Joey Lawrence. Now, except for the very special episode of Blossom and the Blossom is a Cunt episode of Fat Actress, I am not familiar with Joey Lawrence, but I'm on board now.
He's cute.
I still don't
know. No, I remember him from Give Me a Break.
But not from Blossom. Yeah, yeah. And then he had a show for about 5 minutes with his little brothers on.
Right. I remember that.
Maybe like maybe almost 10 years.
But that was on Disney.
Okay, yeah.
I have a feeling that aside from the Disney moniker, none of us are going to prison for liking a Lawrence now because they're all in their 30s, right?
No, no.
He's in his late 30s.
Where are you going? Marnie's
right. All right, Marnie, do you have your phone and the key to the bathroom? Marnie misses so much of the show because she's peeing.
Bring an empty milk carton.
We're
going to
do a live satellite feed from the bathroom.
Has this new show that I've actually watched with Melissa somebody or other that's on also not Disney Channel, but it's on like ABC Family.
ABC Family.
It's horrible, but I've watched it.
No. Oh, and Sutton Foster, my idol, my hero, my Sutton love. I may have taped it, so I'm thinking it happened last night. Sutton Foster has a new show, and I don't
care.
Shut
up, really?
Yeah, it was. I guess it was on yesterday, but I got to see if it taped. Sutton Foster, I don't care if she shows up to sing me a song about these yellow fucking egg crates on the walls here. She's the greatest
show
thing
called?
On earth. I don't know. Bunheads? Bunheads. I think it's really called Bunheads.
It's a scripted show?
Yeah, it's about, I don't know. And if she doesn't sing or dance,
I don't know.
I have to tell you, in all seriousness.
Am I going to be really disappointed?
I have no idea. I got nothing. I stalked this woman. I was sitting in a little theater by myself on Broadway. There was other people there because it was a full theater.
Sure.
And I'm watching Thoroughly Modern Millie, which I went to see. God. I was like, okay, Thoroughly Modern Millie.
I saw the tour, but, you know.
Oh, well, you know, okay. Now my story has two parts because of you. And as this joyous human being, the greatest thing, and I was already in love with her brother because of Urinetown, Hunter Foster.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love him. Oh, my God.
I heart him much. Oh, I want to fuck him till he sings
Not
to me.
Not as bad as Ed Castillo, but you know.
You're right. We all take second place to something. I have to tell you, like, in the middle of this show, she was so radiant and gorgeous. She was like Mary Tyler Moore meets Carol Burnett in The Happiest Place on Earth. Mm-hmm. And all I thought to myself, and seriously, I said this to the gay guy next to me who was seeing it alone, too. We were like two lonely boys in a theater.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it was sad. I said to him, I'm like, she's going to end up on some sitcom, like the girl with the amazing voice, Sara Ramirez, that's on Grey's Anatomy. She's going to end up on some stupid show where they don't let her sing and dance.
Yeah.
When they went on tour, part two of the story, we're already on part two, what they did is they tap danced to get the elevator to rise, to get the elevator in the hotel where Modern Millie lives. Mm. She tap dances, and that's what makes the elevator work. Well, on tour, the hotel couldn't have two floors, so they got rid of, like, half of the tap dancing. Aww. It was so sad.
Oh.
It was it was one of the greatest theater moments of my life.
Why couldn't the elevator rise?
Because, no, they didn't have a second story. It was a touring show. They had a much smaller set.
But didn't they do that? They didn't do that with Sunset Boulevard?
Right. Sunset Boulevard bankrupted Gamage. That bankrupted. The really useful theater company went bankrupt because of trying to tour Sunset Boulevard because of the two floors in the thing.
I mean, on Sunset Boulevard, that moment is like the chandelier in Phantom of the Opera.
But better theater, because Phantom of the Opera is seriously the bottom of the well of theater.
I think at some point I should develop a second show on Q Talk
with
America.
With you in on it?
No, that's just Al and Buddy discuss Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
I'll board the show.
Can we talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman for a second? Because
I think
that motherfucker.
Is he on methadone? Because
we have not drank about methadone. Marnie's back from the bathroom.
Methadone.
When they were giving out the award for best actor in a play, and that was some fucking heavy hitters in that category.
Heavy hitters.
I would just like anyone but Philip Seymour Hoffman, because he kind of annoys me. But I just want him to shower and shave once when he goes to an award show. He looks like he smells like he's homeless.
Just once. True.
And you know, anytime there's an award show and somebody shows up and they're all excited and they're finding their seat and they find out they're next to or behind Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know they're like, oh my God, can I change my seat? I know he's going to smell.
It's why I hate Bryan Adams. Take a fucking bath. Timothy Hutton is another one, famous for not bathing.
Ew.
My thing with Philip Seymour Hoffman, though, as crazy fucker as he is, always good. Like a dependable.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
He is good.
Because what the most underrated movie in Hollywood, I think, is the, Jesus Christ. with Matt Damon playing the piano and Gwyneth Paltrow and the talented Mr. Ripley.
The talented Mr. Ripley.
My God. Never seen it.
My friend Parley Stock.
Marley, have you ever been to a movie theater?
When did I become Marley?
Whatever.
No, I said.
I don't even know your last name.
I have more names on this goddamn show.
He said Marnie. I said my friend Parley, and we said it at the same time.
Oh, thank God. Because I was a little upset.
Psycho over The Talented Mr. Ripley, which is a great movie.
Great, great movie.
But
I'd put it in my top 10 of all time.
Well, then I will see.
Easily. Right. This is boring to anybody. Buddy and I, like, we obviously clearly love each other. We only see each other once a week. And Clayton's lost all interest, and now he's texting his amour. Clayton had a date. Clayton Mackey had a date last week.
No, actually, I just found out that I have tweets from David Hernandez and Rosie O'Donnell. They wanted to tweet me. They're talking to me.
Oh, yeah. Rosie, what did they listening? Say?
David Hernandez, I'd like to give you a little advice because I know you, and we were friendly for many, many days.
You and David?
Yeah.
Oh, I.
He took my place at BS West.
Or how?
Because I left and he
did
took my
job.
Did
you used to be a stripper?
No, at BS West.
Right.
No. I always want to say to him, he's one of the best singers in the world, but I think he did himself.
Oh, you mean the karaoke version of that stuff? Like I'd never heard him sing until all of a sudden he came back. No, actually, was he on the? I think he actually was on American Idol before. I really heard him sing, and I'm like, shut.
Oh, no, I knew him forever. Like I knew him as a singer. The thing that did him in was the week that they did the Beatles song that he said, I took a Beatles class in college, and then he got up and he sang like, I saw her standing there. If you took a Beatles class in college,
why would you choose that song?
Why wouldn't you pick their Eastern influences, their post-psychedelic phase? Like, if you took a class, you would know about their drug ages. Why wouldn't you do We Can Work It Out? Like, why wouldn't you do a better fucking song?
He
and Rosie
took
O'Donnell,
the class. He never went, I don't think.
Huh?
I bet he never went to the class.
Right.
He took
but
it.
He's a lovely, lovely guy.
I took jazz in America. I had to show up like 3 times, including to the final. And then,
are you ready? Hold on to something. You know what class I took at ASU? Here's a waste of my parents' money, but it was the greatest hour of my life 2 days a week, and I went. I took a class on Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh.
I know. Look at you. Look at the excitement in your face.
That would have been awesome.
And if I went one more year, I could have taken a class exclusively on Psycho.
I did take,
if
wow.
You pay, that was the 300 level.
Okay.
You did the directors, which I took as the 200, as the 100 level, or movies. Then you took directors, and then you could take a whole class on one fucking movie.
Wow.
Shut the fuck up.
Anyway, Clayton.
We are boring Clayton Mackey.
Clayton, you hosted the Pride Gala last
As a
weekend.
Friend of NPR, if you'd like to send in your donations, please do so now to encourage more programming like this on your local station.
Buddy Early and I.
If you would like a transcript of tonight's show, please write down everything we said.
If we spent more time together outside the studio, it wouldn't bore you all so
Which
much.
I do
notice that the two people on the picture just don't talk that much.
I do want to hear about the Pride Gala.
I know. The Pride Gala was a great time. I enjoyed it. I got there at about 3:30. We did a very brief rehearsal at 4:15. Doors open. It all just goes. And I've done it enough. I'm blessed enough to be able to do it. Is they've got the script very, very bullet pointed together. So it's very on. Okay. The slides, everything goes together. Brandy and Natalie Cianciola, they did a wonderful job of putting it all together. And literally, I do half of it from the stage and half of it from the table because a lot of it's just introing directly from there. My bitches, if I tell you to leave my mic open, leave it fucking open.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There were comments and there were things that I was going to...
I suffer for that on this show.
I honestly thought you had hosted this thing 2 months ago. Wasn't there...
No, that was the HRC.
I did HRC.
Yeah. I did the VOG for that, which they call it that. In all the scripts of the HRC campaign, they call it the voice of God. And it's just, you're never seen, you're never on stage. It's just you are the voice of God. You do those intros of, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome now, blah, 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 you know, whoever. So I did that, and I've already agreed to do that next year. And
called it voice of God. How are you not going to come back?
Right. Granted. And the pay is the same as this show. So I figured, what the hell?
Nice.
The interesting thing in regards to that is the HRC event and next year's gay rodeo in town were on the same weekend. So Nate Roten, in his big heart, moved the HRC event to another weekend so that could do both because he wanted me to be there. So I thought that was wonderful that he did that. Yeah. So I'm not only...
So other people enjoy hearing you talk.
Apparently, that's showing up. And, right, yeah.
Well, it's good that they have those moments.
Two or or three times a year, but not weekly.
Not weekly.
And I show up in the same outfit. No. So if you're getting excited over something new I'm going to wear, don't. So I got to host that. And I worked with a woman, again, the second year. Her name is Letitia Fry. She brought a new word to me last year, which she calls auctiontainment. She's one of those people who, her job, she's a certified auctioneer, and she goes to fundraising events, and she's the one standing in 7-inch Jimmy Choo pumps who walks an entire room and makes you pay money to she's insane. She auctioned off shit like shit on a shingle. Give me $500.
Right.
And you'll just write a check for it. Right.
Well, so
I'm just curious. I was talking to her. She actually wants me to talk to her about doing some other things nationally, potentially hosting some other events. So I'm kind of excited about the chance of that, because I'm like
to talk on the radio.
No, well, no,
because that'll never happen here.
Keep working on
that. Yeah, the weeks that I'm in,
this bit has gone on longer than anything you've ever done on the show.
Right, I think most people talk about it at the Methadone
Center. Oh,
we are an abject failure at the drinking of these
things. So anyway, so the thank you, but the Pride Gala was a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. Now, my new thing is that I want to help co-write the scripts, because I was reading stuff that was a little bit like, what? Yeah. I wouldn't really say that.
That's the one thing is, if I'm ever hosting, and I don't do it as much as you anymore, obviously. I used to do things like that all the time. I like to have
until you came along.
I like to have a hand in what scripting. I'm saying.
Right. The beauty part of it for is, and Brandy trusts me enough, is she knows I can just like get the gist of it and go off copy and just make up my own shit.
That's how we're going to make our money.
The funniest part of the whole thing was Gracia, what's her whole name? Gracia Dioka Montez, whatever the hell, the whole thing. She's standing on stage and she's doing a presentation and she starts joking about illegal immigration from the stage and how many people in the room were illegal. I'm dying laughing because the mayor, his wife, and the chief of police are sitting right in the front row. Like, it couldn't have been any more fun. I mean, you were safe as in the arms of Jesus, because unless our pio walked in the door, we were all safe.
He's a cunt.
That was fun for me. That was a good time for me. Did somebody else have a question for me?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I thought you did. Otherwise, we are going to continue on because we're coming back with the introspective portion of our program right after.
I need some methadone
right
for that.
After this.
Methadone!
30 seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
It doesn't matter. I really do, Al. I want you to just do on my voicemail. Like, I need you on there.
Even I'm surprised by that voice. I don't know where it comes from.
I want you to say, please fuck off and just text me.
Please fuck off.
And just text me.
It's a good time.
I like it.
What's our question, Alfred?
All right. Well, I'm not prepared because I haven't prepared for anything this week. So I'm going to go with, who is your first gay crush?
Legitimate or in person?
I will let you choose. I will give you your choice to choose. If they don't coincide. But I want to know, like, what was the first time you had a longing in your loins?
Down there.
Wow.
We haven't had a spit take from Marnie all night tonight. It's kind of embarrassing. But I want to know who was your first gay crush, real or imagined, that made you start to question your sexuality? Because there's that thing of, like, people at 5 don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just had a flashback.
See, we're going to start with Marnie.
Oh.
I know. She thought she had some secret deal with me, like, on Survivor.
He needs to talk.
Yeah, but mine is going to make my mother laugh.
Yeah. So, Marnie.
Oh, Jesus.
First gay crush.
Because we go this way. That's why.
And I,
Stop talking, Clayton!
I love it that you thought you had some secret deal
with me.
Well,
I thought that we did, because he needs to talk in his own show for a minute.
But people on the air don't know how much I love him. They know how much I love you.
Fair.
They think I hate him.
Fair. Okay, so this is super easy for me. Well, and if we're name-dropping, Laura Hesmovich.
Sure. Because that means so much to all of us.
No, I'm just saying, like, I just feel odd. Perhaps I shouldn't say that. But anyway, I'm 19-ish. And
Jesus Christ, 19?
That's the
first
time I ever realized that I...
Your loins, I'm going to use, is that a female term? Never stirred?
Never.
Never, okay. All right, then I will go
with
that.
So, yeah, I was, I went to a community college, leaving high school. I was 18 or 19, I don't remember.
Shame, Sean.
And anyway, I literally walked into this one room and saw her and kind of was like, I'm not supposed to feel this right now at all. And this is weird, and that's a girl, and none of this computes. And then we dated, and that's all.
So your loins were unstirred for 18 full years.
By a woman, yes.
Ouch. All right.
And you took her to Swenson's.
I can't hear Buddy at all.
You turn your mic on? I'm
buddy.
Sorry.
Oh, Buddy.
That was a technical.
That was methadone.
I thought I was in the timeout corner, but it turns out Buddy early is the problem on methadone.
Sorry.
You can keep that picture of Joey Lawrence if you'd like. Okay.
Because it's lightly soiled now.
Speaking of lightly soiled, the answer to your question, I'm going to cheat.
Segway. I like it.
I'm going to cheat because there's...
Feel free. I mean, she only took 30 seconds this week.
Which is good. Because
there's two. Because one, I did not realize till I was an adult that I'm like, oh, that was my first crush.
Oh, good.
There was in elementary school, I don't know specifically what grade this was, somewhere between first, second, and third grade. There was a friend that I had. His name was Jason Falk, F-A-L-K.
Oh.
Yeah.
Peter's Peter's nephew.
Right. And I just remember.
Stop it already.
One last question.
He wasn't at school for a few days. Oh. And he
and you were yearning for him in your loins?
We found out that he was really sick.
Oh.
And I don't remember what he had.
Is this going to make me cry?
No. Marty's going to call him a whore in a second.
I know. No,
he didn't die or anything, but he was really sick and he had to miss school. And I remember making sure, I told my mom, I'm like, I got to go see him. I want to see him. And I went over to his house. His mom let me go into his room and see him, and he was in
bed. He's like, why the fuck are you here?
And I was just like,
with donuts.
So concerned about, isn't this supposed to be serious? Isn't this where we're supposed to be serious?
But these fuckers interrupt everything you say.
I know. Give them some more methadone.
We got a spit take from Clayton.
So, no. I remember sitting
by. We have a double spit take, ladies and gentlemen.
Double spit take.
Double spit take.
I can't believe Al just said I interrupt anything. God damn it.
That was painful.
I remember sitting at his bedside just, you know, not wanting to leave.
I saw this on Glee. I love this
episode. I wanted to sit there with him. You know, because I still wanted him to get better. And I left there, and on my way home, I burst into tears. Because I was so upset that this friend of mine, who I had a huge crush on but didn't know it, was sick. And it wasn't until my adult years where I realized that was my first crush.
This is really uncomfortable.
Now, the first... What?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you were an adult, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was part of an uncomfortable moment, and I didn't even know.
Exactly. Now, the first time I had a crush... And I knew about it. I was a sophomore in high school. And I don't know the guy's name, but he had the locker above me.
Oh,
who's the locker above somebody?
I got his crotch shot out of that. I'm thinking I spent all of sophomore year looking at his crotch.
No, I mean it. I would be kneeling down into my locker, and I could smell. He had a scent, and I knew when he showed up.
Scent.
And I would turn around, and his crotch would be in my face.
I love that scent.
And we're back to Wild Kingdom.
His
Dateline.
His pegged jeans.
His pegged jeans.
They were really tight. And I think he might have been a homosexual, by the way.
We're going to need a 30-second dance break while I process this story.
And I do not know his name, but for an entire year, I would...
But if he walked by,
Sergeant Ed Castillo.
I wish. I would get butterflies in my stomach whenever we'd be at our lockers at the same time. And I will say that he was also... responsible for some nocturnal emissions that year.
Now I have a follow-up question for the lesbian.
Oh.
That's you, sweetheart. Pay attention.
I was like, who is he talking
Put
to?
Put down the methadone, Marnie.
Oh!
Good call.
Just fell over.
Okay, go ahead. Follow-up question.
Shame Chong. Now, the joy of having man parts, as I might or may not have.
Oh, fuck me running. Really?
No, come on. We have a vagina and we're going to test. Do you have nocturnal emission-like dreams? Like, I think the layman term is wet dream. Yeah. Like, do you ever wake up with, like, a hand towel and a...
I'd like to apologize on behalf of Q-Talk America.
Okay.
We don't have a disclaimer for that.
Seriously. Thank you. I don't think we do either, so I can't answer.
No.
You can, too.
Okay. You can't answer because you don't
want to.
Why can't you answer?
I will. Fine. But no.
Like, you never...
I mean, if you're
You
asking,
never had a pleasurable dream where you woke up slightly satisfied?
I think that's a legitimate question. But
you found that you drunk text a U-Haul representative? I mean,
all these stereotypes. You're making me very upset. What? No,
no, it's not a stereotype. I want to know if women can get
you're
off
while they're
sleeping.
You're dreaming of Swensons.
You know,
I don't know.
You wake up
a little wet down there. What are you looking for?
Yeah, okay.
I think these are legitimate questions.
So is the answer yes? We're trying to help people here on QTalkAmerica.com.
And for those that
also
know
known
me,
as the methadone clinic.
Those that know me, I'm answering you properly. But I will tell you right now, yes, I'm certain that happens.
Okay. This show is entertaining and informative, Marnie. Okay. So,
when does the informative start?
So last,
I'm not sure because I'm
actually, the entertaining is questionable.
Between last week and this week, I'm done with the whole sex thing.
It's a sex thing every fucking week. Okay, there's no way to fit this in organically, so I'm going to fit it in here. Yesterday, I go upstairs. I'm at work, and I have very dry hands because at the restaurant you have to wash your hands constantly because we're always touching raw chicken. So my hands are dry, so I bring my own lotion. So I go upstairs because I'm not working on my floor, and I'm working on another floor, and I go and get my lotion. And this nurse says to me, because I'm on the heart attack grill. I'm working in the heart attack grill section. There are so many metaphors flying in this story.
Oh my god!
It's like a methadone clinic.
Yes, it is.
Oh god!
Methadone.
So she tells me, take this pacemaker down to that floor because you're working in the heart attack grill section. It's a quarter pound pacemaker.
Yeah.
And she's like, when you go down there, they'll know what to do with it because I used to work in the heart attack grill section of the restaurant, but
yes.
I don't anymore.
Not anymore.
Now I work in the anal licking part where you get sepsis, according to that woman on the thing.
Jane Sabota.
Right.
Sabota.
So, in that tone of voice that I usually say for disclaimers, I walk up to this girl and I'm like,
Methadone
clinic. At the methadone clinic where I work, I walked up to this woman in my disclaimer voice. I'm like, I have lotion and a pacemaker. What kind of fun can we have?
Oh, no.
A spit take! I am famous for spit takes. And if you have ever seen eight people working on one part of our restaurant, when someone says, I have lotion and a pacemaker, what kind of fun can we have?
The fact that the music is going on in the background is
killing me. I waited
me.
The whole elevator ride down because I knew I had the best joke going.
Oh,
I had lotion and a pacemaker waiting for someone
and
who
worked
in a restaurant.
And you know what made that elevator work? Tap dancing.
Tap dancing! Always
on
gives me a heart attack.
Now it's back to the perfume counter for
and
you.
Now it's back to the perfume counter for you. I am so much drunker than I usually am on these shows, but we're talking about Broadway, so you can't tell. Clayton McKee, first gate crush. Hit it!
Hang on, Diane Lugenbill, we're coming.
That's his mother's feckin' last name. She sent me a message and she sent me this last name like I'm gonna know it. I'm sorry, your son's last name is Mackie.
McKee.
That's
her maiden name.
Okay, you're Mackie.
I'm Al Perkins. I work on this show.
You're Mackie, I'm Reiner. We're all good.
You're Mamie fucking Eisenhower. I saw you at the methadone clinic. Clayton Mackie,
just
first gay crush.
In my hometown, there was there probably still is.
A little boy.
There was a family named...
You had a crush on a whole family?
No. There was a family...
There was a bunch of Mexicans that moved up.
A family named...
La Migra.
Their last name was Williams. However...
Oh,
however,
shocking twist.
However, the mother of this family was Latino.
Of course she was.
They were Williams by marriage.
Oh,
and she,
now I'm back
and
on board.
And also.
She had two kids, and I was actually in love with both of them. The daughter, Linda, stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah,
girl.
We don't care about her.
And her son,
yes.
Steve.
There we go.
Steve.
And
managed
all gays
the
named Steve, Mark.
Mark, Rick, or Steve. They all have track lighting.
But he general managed the Mercedes-Benz dealer in our town because that's what they owned. Then they owned a restaurant. So I used to always go. I used to detail cars for the Mercedes-Benz dealer. And I used to also go to the restaurant and eat at night. Right. Of course. I did. But the odd thing about...
we're growing in
now,
listeners.
The odd thing about that story is back years before that, my mom worked in a bar in Battle of Nome, and Steve worked in that bar too when he was much younger, and he used to hit on my mom.
That's fantastic.
Totally did. And at this,
I feel like I just smelled something bad.
Like in the restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the moral of that story is we both like nice
don't
things.
Fuck people that had a crush on your mom?
I don't know. No, I never got there. I never got there. But anyway, so that was the first
okay,
one.
Now because
now,
I started
did
paying attention.
Did you both take methadone after that?
I like that you put a blouson on every beer bottle you open.
Well, it's a Viking blouson.
My French has a burp in the middle of it. Blouson.
It's a Viking blouson.
Matt Marotska just fell off whatever he was sitting on. I'm just letting you know.
By the way, can I just, again.
Hurry. What?
Again.
What?
That he just fell off. You said he fell off
before. Oh, he fell off all the time. The Reverend.
He's really a top, so sitting on things is not his game.
Jesus.
The Reverend,
you're welcome, Matt Marotska. That'll be $20.
I want to make sure that Al has right. time to answer.
No, let's
this
turn
week.
This around on Mr. Perkins.
What happened to the Reverend?
Oh, he's just in there.
We have a
Hi,
Reverend.
Rev.
Is Brophy Boy with us?
No, Brophy Boy's not there.
I should have shout
out. JP, the Reverend Marotska. That's really about it.
Who's
that's
the
it.
Is a Reverend?
He's not
mind.
A real
it's
Reverend.
A
it's a friend of hers.
Because I think we've offended every real Christian in the world.
Probably go.
Okay, so. First off, we have a new listener, Julie Flynn. Big fan. Got a
Hi,
shout
Julie.
Out to her because Marnie wasted like 5 minutes of my time turning out to her birthday, people. One of them was Buddy
oh,
earlier.
No,
I didn't even know him.
Like, no, he's not important.
So mad at
okay.
you right now.
Time so the first morning. Time... I know. I watch the atomic clock closer than you do. Mayan calendar countdown. Get on it because I'm going to do it before I sign out. The first time I was watching How the West Was Won. It was a TV miniseries in the 70s, but it was a remake of something that happened earlier when I wasn't alive. Bruce Boxleitner came on the TV, who was later in Scarecrow and Mrs. King with Kate Jackson.
Yeah.
Totally.
I spent my whole life wanting to be Kate Jackson. When I found out that she was the same height as me, because I was tall as a child and short as an adult.
Angel? Really?
I found out that Kate Jackson was 5'8", and I thought, life is good. Oh. I'm the same height as the smart angel.
And 5'8"?
And whenever I use
You're
my car phone... Yeah. When oh. Fuck off. Whenever I use my car phone, I think I'm a Charlie's Angels. I have a car phone.
That's good.
But Bruce Boxleitner, he came on the TV, and we were all watching TV, my mom and my sisters, and I looked at my sisters, seriously, deadpan, and went, can you bring somebody home that looks like him?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And my mother and my sisters were all, like, ready to kill themselves, because oh. I was like, Bruce Boxleitner, Google.com. Like, find him. He is the hottest fucking thing on feet. And he was in a Western. He was dirty. He was sandy.
Was married to Melissa
Sandy?
Gilbert. By
he
the
was
way.
Yes, he was. And he broke her back or something. Yeah. I don't know. How's the lawyers doing on that? How much time we got? So that's it. And then the other gay crush was I changed schools in the fifth grade, and I seriously, the door opened. I'm not going to mention a name here because he knows who he is. And so does everybody else that was in the fifth grade with me, and some of them are listening. I opened up the door, and I thought to myself from across a crowded room in a new school at 10 years old, that is the cutest person I've ever seen. As a stalker, I will sit next to him, and my life's mission will be to, like, be his friend. Like, I will pretend to like anything you want, because that's the cutest person I've ever seen.
Well, so
and now he's on methadone.
Yes, he is. Oh! One last shout out to methadone!
Nice.
First gay crush. Good question.
I have an update. The Oklahoma City Thunder have won game one tonight of the NBA Finals.
So. Oh, and my right. cat is still dead.
Oh,
that's
yes,
my
yes,
update.
Yes.
Still dead. Finger on the pulse.
And it's a tight race in with the Gabby Giffords race down in right. Tucson.
That's
right
true.
Now. No.
Well, all right. You've managed to do it again. It's another show in the bag. My name's Clayton McKee. It's with Marnie Ryer, Buddy Early, and Al Perkins. We're back this Saturday, actually broadcasting live.
Making
from,
toast.
From
making toast and Flagstaff.
Sourdough with seeds. Yes. I have the bread chosen.
So we will see you in just a few
and
days.
And I'll be drying my hair.
Oh, and blow drying.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll be back right here on Q-Talk America next Tuesday. Thank you and good night.
Methadone.
You've managed to do it again. Waste an entire 2 hours listening to the show with Clayton McKee, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and Buddy Early. Tune in again next week for more adult conversations, a couple drinks, and some good times with the gang. On behalf of Q Talk America, this is Siri, saying goodnight.